Right now, Ralph is joining us for our first look at showbiz for this morning. Hey, Ralph.
Stop talking to me. You're on tape. What's wrong with you?
It's annoying.
What the hell's he thinking? People don't know it's the Best of Kevin and Bean, and those guys are on vacation, and it's all pre-recorded?
Well, the Bean, he's used to being a disembodied voice. That's his deal.
I guess that's true.
Hey, party people. Good morning. It is 5:53 here on the world-famous K-Rock. You're listening to the Best of Kevin and Bean. We'll get that back for you in just a few moments, but in the meanwhile, I'll be here while the boys are on vacation, bringing you the latest and greatest in showbiz news with the Showbiz Beat. Let's start off with what CNN spent 4 hours of coverage on last night.
Was it really? I mean, how long was it?
It was an hour with Larry King, and then Anderson Cooper came on afterwards on his show and did a post-mortem on the interview where he had someone from People Magazine, some professor of popular culture from Temple University, a public relations dude, and some chick from Court TV, and they just talked about what Paris had just said moments earlier on the Larry King show.
But see, Larry King's given up a long time ago, so for him, it was just like, well, this is a job and paycheck, da-da-da-da. Anderson Cooper, sharp guy, serious journalist, he must have just wanted to drink poison the whole time.
And a big fruit cup, allegedly. Yeah. And his claws were out, I'll tell you. He was catty as hell talking about that Paris Hilton. It's like, she's not doing herself any favors every time she opens that lip-glossed mouth. I was like, "Real Anderson and Ethy.
Relax."
Larry King was spectacularly soft, as he always is when he interviews these people. I was stunned by the fact that Larry asked Paris about her drug use. You know, she's a legendary party girl.
Yeah.
Asked her about drinking and drug use. And, well, listen for yourself.
Have you ever been addicted to drugs?
No.
Taken drugs?
No.
Never taken drugs?
Mm-mm.
Never taken drugs. And the Smoking Gun website
has
photos up this week of Paris in Amsterdam sitting in a hash bar just sparking up a pipe, just smoking out a bowl.
Let's not forget that they also have, in that Paris Exposed video, don't they have her snorting yay off that guy's chest?
That's the word on the street.
Yeah.
But she's never done any drugs. And Anderson Cooper said, what about these pictures? And everyone was like, well, we have no proof what was in the pipe. She's smoking a pipe. She's got the lighter to the pipe. You don't smoke, you know, tobacco that way, for God's sakes. Yeah, so I thought Larry could have called her on that, saying, really?
What about these pictures, Paris?
He should have said that.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. My favorite part of the interview by far was when Paris was talking about what she ate at the Lynwood jail. And this joke writes itself.
Lunch is basically a bologna sandwich, which is, they just give you this bologna, which is like, they call it mystery meat. It's pretty scary. And two pieces of bread and some mayonnaise with some orange juice.
Speaking of mystery meat and mayonnaise,
Come on!
Mystery meat. Who's got more experience with mystery meat than Paris Hilton?
Yeah.
Or mayonnaise, for that matter. Yeah. So, no real news was made last night during the interview. No shocking revelations, no real behind-the-scenes situation. Paris basically said jail sucks and it was scary. But she's changed. She's a changed woman. She's not going to be the party girl she once was. She's going to dedicate herself to charities and to building transitional housing for women coming out of prison so they don't repeat the cycle of going in and out of jail facilities. She's going to help kids and breast cancer and multiple sclerosis. She's got a lot of plans. Of course, this is 2 days out of the jug.
Yeah.
We'll see how sincere she is. 6 months from now, we'll see how much charity works.
After she's got a little more partying out of her system, all that.
Oh, no, she says she's done with that psycho, Mike.
I'm sure.
She's going to grow up. She's going to become a new woman.
How is she going to make money? I mean, isn't that her gig?
Here's the thing. She was talking last night enormously about her business interests. I run several businesses. I was like, well, what businesses are those? But apparently her perfume line and her line of purses and her modeling work and her acting, if you want to call it that, her CD. Apparently all those interests do generate income. She made $7 million on her own last year, according to CNN. So she is capable of making money above and beyond showing up at nightclubs in Vegas for, you know, $75,000 a pop. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see whether she follows through on her new persona or not. She says jail was a blessing in disguise. It was traumatic to be there, but she's glad it happened because she feels she's stronger than ever and it's changed her life forever.
I'm glad.
It's touching. More celebrity courtroom news. I don't know if you remember or not, but in March, Vivica A. Fox from the Kill Bill movies and many other feature films, she was popped for DUI in March. And TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website, has the police report for when she was arrested for driving under the influence.
Fantastic.
And apparently the cops that stopped her was a partnership of a white dude and a Hispanic dude. And Vivica, who apparently had a few cocktails in her, went off screaming at the Hispanic guy, "Brother, help a sister out. Are you going to let this racist white cop do this?" Well, are you? I guess he was brown. It was as close as she could get at the moment, you know.
And he poured in a storm.
You know? And he poured in a storm, exactly. Apparently, they took her to the station where a breath test was administered. Reportedly, Vivica A. Fox burped quite loudly and then aborted the test. So they got a nice sample of her breath when she belched into the machine, and she blew a .09.
So not hammered, but...
No, but hardly the racist cop's fault for her driving under the influence.
I agree.
She was, if convicted, we still haven't, she hasn't seen her day in court yet, but if convicted, she will get a maximum of 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine. So we'll have to wait and see how that pans out. This is a great story. I don't know if you heard about John Stamos and his behavior in Australia.
No.
Apparently, he did several TV appearances in Australia to promote the new season of ER down there in Australia. And he showed up just looking like a slob and unable to answer questions and rambling. And everyone thought he was loaded. He went as far as to say, start talking about dead people. And then said, "You know what else is dead? My career after appearing in Australia." He was cheesing off the Australian media big time. Well, he's apologized publicly and said it was severe jet lag that left him exhausted and unfit for interviews. That's what it is.
Ralph Garman.
Yes, I can.
Why the unbelievable reluctance by all of the people in Hollywood to just say, "Yeah, you know what? I had a long night. I was partying a little too much. I'm in Hollywood. I'm a celebrity."
Because perception is everything. And they can't admit to that because then they'll tell the truth.
Right. But I mean, is that so bad? Is the general public going to be so upset that someone partied a little too much?
Look, it's a rock and a hard place. I was thinking last night when Paris Hilton lied on national television and said, "Oh, no, I've never done drugs. And I don't drink that much." That was one option for her, right? And everyone says, "Oh, she's a liar." But what if she had gone to Larry King and they said, "Have you ever done drugs?" She said, "Oh yeah, I've done some blow, and I've smoked some marijuana." If she said that out loud, that would be a story that would haunt her for the remainder of her life. We really would. So you're screwed either way. If you lie, everyone knows you're lying. If you tell the truth, the media blows it way out of proportion and says, "Well, this person is a drug addict." Then I don't think there's an answer, especially when you're the public guy, one way or the other, to get out of that unscathed. The thing that struck me most about Paris Hilton last night—I don't know if you watched the interview or not—but it's the first time I've ever seen her talk in a concentrated period of time. I mean, she spoke to Larry King for an hour.
Yeah, that's true.
And when have you ever seen her have a conversation with anyone for an hour?
She's a 15-second red carpet soundbite.
Right. She soundbites. Even The Simple Life was made up of soundbites with her and Nicole Richie. She is, in my opinion, she came off to me as being enormously stupid, but not unlikable. She didn't seem like a conniving, evil person. She just seems like a empty-headed model.
Right.
And everyone has so much hatred for her, but I think if you talk to almost any model you'd find, any successful model, you're not going to get the most scintillating deep thoughts out of these women.
No.
You're just not. That's not the way they're raised. That's not what they're focused on. She struck me as a spoiled brat from Beverly Hills, but no different or worse than any other spoiled brat from Beverly Hills.
If we plucked any chick from, you know, Bel Air or Beverly Hills High School right now, that's somewhat good-looking.
I mean, the Brandon Davises of the world, I think, are a lot more disgraced and despicable than she is. She seems like she's a fine girl. She's just dumb. And that's hardly a crime.
That's right.
Boys, everyone in this show would be doing hard
time. I'd be behind bars.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor, comedian, director Mel Brooks, who's made some of the funniest movies ever. If you haven't seen Blazing Saddles or Young Frankenstein,
you're a bad man.
Netflix it. He's 81 years old today. John Cusack, our pal, who is currently starring in 1408 in motion picture theaters right now. He is 41 years old today. And Kelly Pickler. Oh, Kelly Pickler from American Idol with her new boobs.
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Why am I talking like this?
I don't know.
She's 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And we know we're not funny. That's why we'll invite people who are funny in, like Jay Moore. Wants to see Mike take his shirt off first thing when he walks in. What the hell's going on down there with you, Jay Moore?
Untrue. Mike has... I call him Wayne Corbett.
I don't get
what's
the
wrong with the mic? I'm talking on top of it.
I know,
it's in
my
mouth.
Like, but you sound like Lightning when you don't talk into the... There you go. That's
direct right into the right part. There.
Who nicknamed Jay Tillis Lightning? Lightning!
We named him that because he's really, really slow.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why.
Okay. He looks like Wayne Corbett and Johnny Damon in the same body.
Psycho Mike?
Whatever you want to call him.
That's his nickname. That's what we call him.
But is he a psycho? Every time I see him, he's super level-headed.
He's killed people.
We sit around. We talk about minstrel cycles.
That's right. He's killed people.
But Jay Moore is in the studio. It's the world-famous K-Rock Kevin Amin Show. The thing is, though, it got awfully gay in there for about 90 seconds, right after Jay walked in and started massaging Mike's nipples and talking to him.
No, Bean.
Okay, well, what's going on with that?
He's got a new tattoo on his chest, and I go, let me see your tattoo. And the only way to show it without ripping your shirt or cutting it off like he's in an ER is to take your shirt off. That's time out. You're so gay in your little abode that when Psycho Mike takes his shirt off and I go, hey, nice tattoo, that's when you're jagging out
No, that is not true, Jay Moore. What happened was
that you your hands. I can't see your hands.
Because then you started you started doing play-by-play of every inch of Sweet Mike's body. Oh, look at those biceps. Oh,
no.
Let me see you flex. Oh, look at his nipples. Am I lying or am I telling the truth, Kevin?
Let me see you flex.
If you're Psycho Mike, he's Gay Bean.
Yeah. Oh, he is gay.
And all I said was that Psycho Mike had gay nipples. He had gay nipples. And then Kevin said,
I don't even know what that means.
Kevin said, what are gay nipples? And then I said, gay nipples are when other guys pulling on them while they're making out.
That's what Mike's got. That
he's
is
got
true.
Big, long, gay nipples. And you know, when you go to the gym... Go ahead, Mike.
Well,
sorry,
I was
going to
say, don't worry about them. We run into this problem whenever we have any guest that has a good physique or at all takes care of themselves, because they're such slobs, and they really don't care about their appearance whatsoever, and they just hate on us. That's what they do. They hate on us.
Maybe they hate on you. Don't bring me into your internal world.
I got to agree with them that you incited all this. I had nothing.
I said, let me see your tattoo. I'm
and
trying to make
I
you feel good.
And then you
so
said.
So why are you going to get lippy with me now?
Because then you
I'll
said.
I'll hit you in the head with my pink coffee mug.
I was trying to defend you. I
think I'm gay with my pink coffee mug.
Right. How about a little less French kissing between you guys? Come on.
How about the fact that the gay guys at the gym are the most giant, cut up, ripped up, best in shape guys?
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I don't know why that is. And then I realized, I know why it is. The gay men at the gym get to shower with who they want to have sex with. Like, if I could go to 24-Hour Fitness and have free access to the women's locker room, and no one would bother me, I'd get there at 5 a.m. and I'd leave at, like, 5 a.m. I'd work chest until I couldn't lift my arms up over my nipples. And then they'd go, you know, some girl would be there shaving, you know, like somebody dropped a pork chop on the barbershop floor. And then I'd be like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, nothing. I think I'm going to work chest. And I'd be like, me too. Let's go back out there and get after it. I just watched you soap your butt for a half hour.
Jay, what's acceptable to you in the pursuit of that body in terms of what you're willing to take? Are you an HGH guy, a steroids guy, a nothing guy, a vitamins guy? What do you do?
I'm an HGH guy. Me personally?
Yeah.
I'm HGH and Celtec.
What is Celtec? I don't know.
It's
what
just a drink after you work out.
No. But HGH isn't the important part
what
of it.
What do I know about it? I weigh 185 pounds. Why are you asking me?
Well, you look like you've been working out. You got the porn stash.
I just thought.
I have a. He said, who, I'll let you say it, sweetie.
Mr. Moore walked in. I said, looks like Jeff Kent of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Ladies and gentlemen, he said it like an old Jewish comic. He looks like Jeff Kent. Jay Moore walks in. He looks like Jeff Kent. Psycho Mike sounds like Regis Philbin. It is a cookie duster, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
Why the porn stash? What's that?
It's not
for,
awful.
Right?
It's strong.
I see a lot of blacks at Red Lobster. What's the problem? I go to Red Lobster and it's like, you know, I didn't know there was a hostile takeover.
Well, they're allowed to go. Anyone can go to Red Lobster.
See,
it's fine.
Now you're the guy just now that makes it kind of like a weird racial thing when you interject, well, they are allowed to go.
Well, I'm just saying, what's your problem with them going to Red Lobster?
I don't want to. I just don't know. There's 11% of the population is black. 80% of the population at Red Lobster is black. It's like when you go to an NBA game, you go, wow, everyone on the court is black.
Right.
You don't go, well, they're allowed to play basketball, Jay. It's just kind of like certain people are good at certain things.
Maybe they're really good at eating lobster. I'm just
Thank
saying.
Thank you for saying that for me.
I don't think there's a lot of
shellfish allergies in the black community.
Maybe that's exactly what it is.
Not a lot of sunburn and not a lot of shellfish allergies.
And here's one for La Raza. Hey, the world of superheroes is changing. You know, superheroes have never been hotter, of course, not just Spider-Man. I mean, you know, the Batman movies and so many other things going on. X-Men, so popular right now. But it's not all for white guys anymore. You know, there's black superheroes now. Ralph did a story a few days ago about Marvel Comics getting ready to unleash some new Latino superheroes on the world. I guess that's relatively new in the world of comic books, but they got them coming. I guess Alegua is going to be the head of an all-Latino comic book team soon.
Yeah, he leads the Centurions. They're the first all-Latino comic book team whose powers are derived from the Afro-Caribbean religion of Santeria.
Huh. Hmm. Interesting choice.
Latino superpowers. So we thought we would check in with Marvel Comics, and let's give them a call and find out just exactly what's going on with these. Calling Marvel
not much about the Santerians, except that that Robert De Niro movie that I saw, where they have the Santeria in it. That was about it. That's about the sum of my knowledge of that religion.
Well, we'll find out. Calling Editor-in-Chief Joe Quesada.
Thank you for reaching the desk of Joe Quesada. This is Rudy Cisneros. What's popping?
Rudy?
Rudy?
Who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean. What are you doing?
Oh, what's up, eh? Yeah, you always find me in my new job, eh?
What do you? When did you start working at Marvel Comics?
Like 2 weeks ago or something like that. It's crazy, man. It's been like a whirlwind up in my dome piece, eh?
Hey, Rudy, why is it you can't seem to keep a job? What's up with that?
You know what I'm saying? It's like... like people say, like I'm not respectful to my the people above me. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't understand like the chain of command. You know what I'm saying? But like I don't let people tell me what to do. You know? Like I gotta keep a gangster. I let my nuts hang, eh? You know what I'm saying? That's how I ride, eh?
Well, that might be part of your problem.
I mean, like a cholo, eh?
Keeping a job. Now, what are you?
That's right. Cue it up.
This guy, Joe Quesada, that you're working for, he's the guy who's bringing the brown man into the superhero world?
That's right. Eh? Like, they're going to do, like, this comic book, I guess, like, mm-hmm. about, like, carabiners, you know, like the beaners down in the Caribbean, you know what I'm saying?
Well, but they're not called carabiners, really.
Don't tell me about my culture, eh?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, the truth is, like, I don't practice Santeria, eh? I ain't got no crystal ball.
Heard that, yeah.
Waiting all day to say that. Like, so, no, but for real, though, so, like, I figure, look, they're branching out to, like, people in South America, eh? Like, stuff like that. Super. I wanted to, like, be able to give them some ideas on, like, Mexican superheroes, eh?
Okay,
so like they got me. I'm like a idea maker, you know.
You're an idea maker.
Oh, that's what my business card says. Rudy Cisneros, leaning like a cholo, idea maker.
Okay, so in other words, they brought you in to help them develop some Mexican superheroes for Marvel Comics. I got you.
That's right. Eh? Like, so like I've been thinking about. You know how they have like Aquaman?
Sure.
What about Aquanet? She's like a female superhero, eh? And by day, she's a student at Maranello Cosmetology School, but by night, she freezes criminals with her hairspray that she uses to mold her crunchy, crispy hair, eh?
Well, great.
That's right.
She's already got it on her. Why not?
She stabs the punk-ass bitches with her impenetrable diamond eyebrow pencil.
No kidding. Wow.
I like it.
Clean. What about super sperm?
Super sperm.
Like any fine Latino man, super sperm can impregnate any woman with his X-ray wiener.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how that helps fight crime, but...
He looked at her for like 15 minutes. He's like, go check. Do the pregnancy test. I dare you, eh?
So he could get him pregnant just by looking at him?
X-ray wiener.
Wow.
And 9 months later, they can't do crime anymore.
That's right, eh? No, like, there'd be no female crime. Everybody's walking around all fat and pregnant, eh? Like, waddling around.
Let me make sure I understand here, Rudy. You don't practice Santeria?
I ain't got no crystal ball.
Okay. I got it.
You know what I'm saying?
What other characters are you trying to push there at Marvel?
What about, you know, like, they got the Silver Surfer, eh?
Yeah.
What about the Denim Surfer?
The Denim Surfer.
Yeah, he goes in the water to fight crime, but he has to put on denim first. Like, he puts on his Levi's cutoffs and he goes and surfs.
Of course he does.
But what's his power?
Surfing in denim.
And how does he stop crime with that?
Because that's intimidating, eh? You go to the beach, you see a guy in denim, you're like, damn, he's crazy.
I think you need to do some work on that one, I think, Rudy.
All right, one of my better ones is Inertia.
Inertia.
That's right. Okay. No matter how powerful the force is against him, Inertia remains fastened to the couch at his parents' house. He vows never to get a job or a place of his own.
Okay, and how does he fight crime?
He's inert.
He said,
doesn't really now, do much, eh? Like, no. I'm trying to like, stick with the Mexican team. Help me out here, eh?
Yeah, well.
Right. Sounds like maybe you based that one on Dave Sanchez, who answers the phones here at K-Rock.
Like, I try to draw from my personal life, eh? Like, you know they got Flash Gordon, eh?
Sure.
What about Flash Gomez?
Flash Gomez.
Flash Gomez.
He's like the fastest guy on earth, but he can reach America from any part of Mexico before any Minuteman can blink his eye. He burns across the border. They're like, hey, where'd he go, eh? Then Flash Gomez.
Okay, Flash Gomez.
I liked it.
And then, like, the leader of their team is the Constant Gardener.
The Constant Gardener.
Yeah, he's from his headquarters deep at the Buena Park Home Depot.
Uh-huh.
The Constant Gardener is prepared to handle any manual labor-based metal task you can throw at him. Whenever you need him, you put up the hologram of the leaf blower in the sky, and the Constant Gardener will be there.
That doesn't sound like much of a superhero.
No, he's dope. He's virtually indestructible, except if you call the INS. It's like kryptonite to him, eh?
He doesn't fight crime, Kevin, but it's awesome to have around if you need some yard work.
That's
no,
true.
Amazing. He, like, he does plumbing. He's like Jack Stefanski. He does plumbing, heating, air conditioning, whatever you need, eh?
Well, it sounds like you need a little work on some of those.
I guess so. You know what I'm saying?
Do they seem to be taking you seriously?
No, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't practice Santeria,
right?
But, you know. I ain't got no crystal ball.
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Aww. Tyra is a whore, a big and whore.
Big fat whore.
How are you going to come at my girl like that, Kevin? Come on. Okay, yesterday we had Kathy Griffin in the studio,
mm-hmm.
and yes. We were talking about Tyra Banks and how she's a big fat whore. And we were telling the story about how Bean defends her at every turn, but he's really
I love her. You know I love her.
But you used to love her is what you mean to say. Because you forwarded me, I think, where did you find this? Was this from the listener or did you find it yourself?
A listener sent in. Apparently, there's some stuff. You all have watched the Tyra Banks talk show from time to time, and you know how they scrape the bottom of the barrel on some episodes. Well, apparently, they think there's so much great material on the Tyra Banks show that they can't put it all on TV. So some of it spills over onto the Tyra Show website, and that, I think, is what a listener tipped us off to here.
Yeah, this clip was Tyra Banks, and I'm just going to play it for you, and I'm going to let you make up your own minds about Tyra Banks and her whoreness.
Okay.
This is from her website.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to TyraShow.com. Okay, when Heather Mills was here, I talked about this little bathroom thing that I thought might have been too gross for on air, even though I know I'm gross a lot.
Okay, now I don't know why she's talking about this with Heather Mills.
No.
But she was.
Yeah, I can't imagine how that would come up. I mean, having a fake leg should not impact a woman's ability to go to the bathroom, right?
Nope.
But this was too gross for her show.
But, okay. So let me explain to you. When you go to the bathroom, I know a lot of us don't really want to, like, sit on the toilet in public, so we squat, all right? So you pull your panties down.
Okay, now.
She's explaining how to squat?
Yes.
Yes.
And she's showing you. I mean, she's not pulling her panties down, but she's, like, squatting and going through all the motions so that you, Lisa, as a girl, know how to pee.
Oh my God.
The kind of help you just can't get anywhere. But Tyra cares.
Right? And then, like, you squat and you squat. But, like, imagine this is, like, the toilet seat. Your panty is, like, touching the toilet seat. All right? So what I have learned to do is, like, you got to pull your panties forward and then pee.
Okay, so now she's told you how to do it. Now she goes through and mimics it again.
Because you think, oh, I'm not touching anything. Girl, your panties are rubbing all over that toilet seat. And I just told my mom this, and she's like, oh, my God, all these years that I have been squatting, thinking I'm being super clean, and my panties is rubbing all on that toilet.
Okay, so she says, Mom, tell me how you pee.
No,
and her mom says,
not.
Here's how I do it. And she says, well, you're doing it the wrong way. Let me show you the right way.
How does that conversation ever come up with
it
your
doesn't.
Mom?
And, it didn't.
I mean,
it didn't. She never told her mom this.
So, Lisa, girls squat so they don't sit on the seat. That's what she's talking about?
Yes. Some girls do, although I have a problem with that because those same girls often end up peeing on the toilet seat.
Right, but they don't care because they're not sitting on it.
They don't care. They just walk away and leave it for the next girl.
Yes, Psycho Mike.
Equally as disgusting, I think, as Tyra is and the fact that she would take time to do this.
Yeah.
Is these mindless sheep in the background
laughing?
Oh, Tyra, that's so funny. That's so what nimwit automatons are you to sit in a crowd and just sit there and laugh at her and
call that entertainment?
What is going on?
Thank you for such a satisfying hour.
Oh, your panties are touching the toilet. You're so right.
That's crazy.
So squat, pull forward, pee. Got it? Squat, pull forward, pee. See you later.
And then they clap. Then they clap.
See you later. Wow.
She told everybody how to pee. Good work.
She's awesome. Whoa.
Nobel Prize.
She's my friend.
You big foreheaded whore.
Tyra Banks is a big fat whore.
Tyra is a whore, a big fucking whore.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
Pet parents and Muslim porn all coming up in the next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, Bean. It's the best of Kevin and Bean. It is 6:51 here on the world famous K-Rock. Your old radio pal Ralph still here in the studio bringing you the showbiz beat. Last night, I watched, along with a lot of Americans, I assume, the Larry King interview with Paris Hilton, her first conversation with a journalist since she's been let out of jail. Wow, it was an hour long, and he worked hard to get her to speak for an hour. Doesn't have a lot to say, this Paris.
No.
Philip, in Long Beach, apparently he was watching the show, too. Good morning, Philip. How you doing? Oh, he hung up. Philip was mentioning the fact that last night Paris was asked by Larry King about her drug and alcohol use. Here's what she had to say.
Have you ever been addicted to drugs?
No.
Taken drugs?
No.
Never taken drugs?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Does anybody buy that?
No. I mean, that seems a little far-fetched. Let's see. KOM says Philip is there. So
Let's see if he's on the phone. Philip?
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, man.
Hey, good morning, Ralph.
What's up, buddy?
Just cruising down the freeway.
You watched Paris Hilton last night?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I think she's full of crap.
Yeah, I think so, too. In fact, the smokinggun.com website has photos of Paris smoking out of a pipe at a bar in Amsterdam, but she claims that she's never done drugs.
Yeah, never done drugs before, but she's a party girl like she is.
Now, Philip, do you think she was between a rock and a hard place? Could she have admitted on Larry King that she does the occasional line of blow or smoke some pot once in a while?
I'm just put my life on it.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you, buddy. I didn't buy it either. Thanks so much for calling in. Let's talk to Lacey in Anaheim. She watched the Paris Hilton interview with Larry King last night. Good morning, Lacey.
Good morning, Ralph. Psycho Mike. What's up?
Hey.
What'd you think of the interview last night?
She sounded a little bit more mature, but I'm pretty sure we're going to see her boozing it up and talking in that high voice of hers within, like, the next 3 months.
Yeah, I thought that too. She seemed like she was a little more sophisticated and mature than I expected her to be, but all these plans she has for doing charity work and that kind of stuff, I don't know. I don't know whether she's going to follow through with that or not.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate her saying that she does. I kind of liked her admitting things that she does wrong, and obviously she's not going to come out and say that she does drugs on Larry King, but...
Right.
I'm waiting for her to talk in that high voice of hers anytime soon.
Yeah, she was trying to keep it under control during the interview. She tried to sound much more like a mature woman than the airheaded party girl that she is. All right, Lacey, thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
Yeah, Paris also talked about the food in the Lynwood jail, and here's what she had to say to that about Larry.
Lunch is basically a bologna sandwich, which is, they just give you this bologna, which is like, they call it mystery meat. It's pretty scary. And two pieces of bread and some mayonnaise with some orange juice.
Mystery meat and mayonnaise.
That's not mayonnaise.
What? Yeah, it's good stuff last night. Meanwhile, ER star John Stamos, of course, also the star of Full House for many years. He's got his own problems down in Australia. He was doing some interviews down there because the new season of ER is just about to air down under, and he did several interviews where he appeared to me to be a little juiced, like he had been cocktailing it up. I cannot say for sure. This is just an assumption on my part.
That's par for the course down under, though, isn't it?
They do like their beer down under. John has said publicly that he was suffering from jet lag that left him exhausted. And that's why he seemed unfit for the television interviews.
Hmm.
But you can see these on YouTube. Let me play a little clip of John Stamos being interviewed on a morning talk show in Australia here for you. And you decide.
I love Australia. You've by the way, the it's my Come favorite on. Country.
Jonah, you have been in the business since you were 19.
Can I say that I love
no, no,
here?
No, I want to ask you. You've been in the business for 19, since you were 19. Why would you let somebody...
She won't let the guest talk.
Why would you let somebody get under your skin like somebody puts a mean thing in the paper
aren't
about?
Aren't I the guest?
Yeah, but why would you let somebody get under your skin?
I love Australia. Let me just say that. I've been here, this is my fourth time. I was here three times with the Beach Boys. Mm. We had Kokomo, which was a big hit down
Fabulous.
Here.
Let me say this. I love Australia. I've been jet lagged and I've been drunk. And that sounds a lot more like drunk to me.
Sounds like Kevin in Vegas.
It does. He claims that he was exhausted. However, the Daily Telegraph newspaper down there says he was spotted in several strip clubs and several bars while in Australia.
Come on. Who can blame you?
Sounds like he hasn't slept since he landed to when he left.
No. Why would you?
But his publicist are saying John has been traveling extensively for the past few weeks in Greece, Egypt, and Tokyo, and having a difficult time adjusting to the time differences in Australia, which led to many sleepless nights.
I will say, I mean, if you're going Greece, Egypt, Tokyo, Australia, that's got to be rough on you.
Come on.
A lot of guys do that.
You're driving. You're flying first class.
Right.
You kick the seat back. You take some Tylenol PM. Have a cocktail. 8 hours of sleep right
and
there.
And he's a pro. Like she said, the guy's been in the business for how long? I'm sure he can. He could, you know, step it up. You know, live for the moment if he needed to.
I hear you. And I want to bring you some good news because I know you're probably all burnt out on Paris Hilton, and now you're finding out that John Stamos is all loaded down under. Just been a rough morning. But here's the good news. The greatest band ever is reuniting.
The original members of Cannibal Corpse?
Nope.
Oh.
Even better than that. On December 7th, a date that will live in infamy here in Los Angeles, California, is the kickoff of the reunion tour of the Spice Girls.
Oh,
yeah.
You have got to give. Taking is too easy.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm going to go zig-a-zig.
Now,
I'm going to go to the show.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It must make me so gay.
You're not saying this as for comedy.
This is not ironic.
You're pumped about this.
This is not ironic. This is not humorous. I missed the girls the first time around. I never saw a Spice Girls concert live. I'm gone. I'm gone.
And this is all of them, or is this just like the ones?
All five together for the first time in I don't know how many years. But I'm telling you, I'm there. It's kicking off an 11-city world tour kicking off in Los Angeles on December 7th. And I'll tell you, so I'm not the only one. Dave the King of Mexico in the other room? I might have to go too. That's what he said.
Well, he's the barometer of good taste.
So Dave and I are going to be front row for Spice Girls in December. I'm very excited.
Don't take Omar. You'll get kicked out. The LAPD will have to come.
Right.
Get choked.
You suck! Or we'll be all drunk throwing fire at him or something. Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian director Mel Brooks is 81 years old today. Actor John Cusack currently can be seen in 1408, a motion picture based on the Stephen King short story. He's 41 years old today. And country singer, former American Idol, Kelly Pickler.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know I had the McFever.
Yeah, you did.
But Kelly was pretty sporty, too.
I do remember you, before McFever, you were picking Pickler.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know about Catherine that early in the show. They didn't really showcase her much. But the very first episode, they made a point of doing a little tape package on Kelly Pickler, and I just thought she was adorable.
Your McFever was sincere.
It
I'm
was,
just
yes.
saying. Once first you laid out as on Pickler.
I did want to pick Pickler initially. You're absolutely right. I will cop to that. But then McFever caught hold.
Mm.
But Kelly Pickler, you know, 21 years old.
And
today.
She's a...
Brand new boobs.
She's been enhanced, I was going to say.
Brand new boobs. Ah. Spice Girls getting back together. Kelly Pickler's got new boobs.
It's like Christmas for you, Ralph.
It's a good day in America. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. And from time to time, you know, we like to try and clean up the trash. We like to try and take care of the problems that we have some control over.
And that has something to do with this bit we're about to hear?
I don't know.
Thank you, Leland, so much for giving me the heads up on this and sending me the DVD of Request Video from Channel 56, KDOC. Which, is that even on the air anymore, by the way, KDOC?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It was a local Orange County independent station at the time, and they used to run an afternoon request video show where callers would call in. You have a small studio audience, and occasionally, half a dozen times or so,
Kevin and I were invited to be guest hosts of the show that day.
Well, if any more of these episodes exist out there,
no,
that you could please send me, I would appreciate it, because this one has whetted my appetite.
Before we hear it, I would like to just say as a disclaimer, we fully admit, especially at that point, that we were completely talentless boobs.
I will show you point for point how little has changed over the past 14 years. I will show you doing the same exact crap back then as you're doing now. That's my point.
We're still talentless boobs, is what you're saying.
I'm fine
with
that, too.
Draw your own conclusions. I'm just saying.
I'm fine with that, too.
There's been so little change over the years, really, when you look at it.
All right. Here's the belt, Daddy. I'm going to bend over now.
Here's the show. It's Request Video. It's a Neanderthal version of sort of Total Request Live, where it's a cheesy set, and they show these videos, and they bring on these two radio yahoos to host the show, which apparently had a regular hot host named Gia DeSantis, who I never watched.
Yes.
And she's off on assignment or something, so these two take over. And here's the thing. Kevin and Bean bring with them, wherever they go, any medium they explore, an incredible sense of lack of professionalism and just no idea how to do the job or carry it off, no polish, no attempt at trying to run smoothly. This is the very opening of the show, the first thing you see when you see Kevin and Bean on the screen.
Hey, Ron.
Yeah.
It's Request Video. Welcome to Channel 56. Kevin and Bean from the world-famous K-Rock. 106.7 KRQ. Let's hear it.
Thank you.
You couldn't...
There was one guy in the front that went...
You couldn't fit one more person in the studio today, have you noticed? Man, I'm telling you, when they hear down here in Anaheim that Kevin and Bean are coming, it's like Depeche Mode tickets are going on sale. There are so many people. Could we get a shot on three of the huge monster crowd? Look at that, huh?
Bean is now directing... Are we going to shout it?
Apparently not. Apparently just a one-camera deal here today.
All right. You're going to have to take our word for it. There are so many people there. It would blow you away.
It's.
You didn't know how many cameras
there were about four people there. I don't know. I don't remember.
First thing, they're looking around at each other. Hey, we're on. That's how they start. And they're like, can we get a shot? No. They have no idea what's going on, how to orchestrate things, no control whatsoever.
We thought if it was a TV show, we could ask for a shot.
Like two guys dropped down in the middle of the wilderness with a pack of matches and a canteen of water and asked to survive for a week. They just have no idea. Well, keep in mind also, this show is on in the afternoon. This is when the kiddies are getting home from school around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're watching the rock videos. They're sitting there with their soda pop and their snacks. And Bean, always knowing his audience,
oh, sure,
launches into some very topical Judge Clarence Thomas comedy about the confirmation hearings back then of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and what Vice President of the time, Dan Quayle, was thinking during the votes.
Really?
I kid you not.
We, have you heard Judge Thomas was confirmed? We just saw that on the news. And you know the guy who really is suffering from all this is we were watching as they were calling the vote, and Vice President Dan Quayle, who works, what, 1 or 2 days a year? Pretty much. Dan Quayle does two things for a living. One is in case there's a tie vote in the Senate, he votes. And two, he sits around praying for George Bush to have another heart attack. Those are the two things he does. And Dan's sitting there as they're calling the vote, and it's looking close. It's like 35-34, 36-35, and he's sitting there going, yes. Yes! Yes!
He's hoping for a tie so he can vote.
He thought he'd get a chance to work 1 second of the year, but no, it didn't work out that way. But that's the latest on that. Just so, in case you're tuning into this show for news, we thought we should tell you that.
We'd take care of you right up front.
We have a lot to do today.
Wow.
Yeah, well, get to it. Thanks for that info, Bean.
It's the
same goddamn
audience.
Same goddamn thing. Bean comes out with some lame-ass story from C-SPAN that no one's watched. And you know there's some 13-year-old pimply-faced kid in Orange County going, what the F? I'm here to see Nirvana. What is this a-hole talking about? Dan Quayle, how he's feeling as the vote's coming in. Blow me.
But we had a lot to get to.
Leave the brother alone. Even if he did do it, so what? It happened.
Thank
Let
you.
It go.
Thank you very much, caller. Obviously,
you had a lot
that.
To get to, so you could take 8 minutes out and talk about the Clarence Thomas hearings.
I don't remember this tape at all. That won't surprise you, but I can only imagine that it was a very hot news topic at the
not
time.
Not on Request Video.
Yeah, maybe
it was.
Maybe
we
not.
Took three calls in a row from 14-year-olds, and they wanted to know.
Really? What do you think about the Coke can thing? Think there was really a pube on there? So anyway, I guess you guys were watching the commercials in between segments there while you're on television, because they had this thing for this is quintessential Kevin. It's a 1-900 number for a psychic, right? That's the last commercial before they come back live into the studio. And here's what Kevin thought about that commercial.
Hey, by the way, those 900 love numbers are just awesome, aren't they?
We love this.
What the hell was that? It was a psychic line, first of all. Hey, the 900 love numbers. penis. We love them.
I'm pretty sure I was drunk.
It is impossible to overstate just how bad that sucks.
All right, now, I would like to point out that we did get banned from KDOC. They would never let us on the premises again because Bean felt the need to say that he wanted to have sex with Debbie Boone. At some point,
who's a pop singer from the 70s.
Sure.
And light up my life.
Her dad owned the station, so that was it. We were banned.
Very religious dude, that Pat Boone, by the way.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Did you know that, Bean, that his dad owned the station?
Well, sure.
Of course.
Just Bean pushing buttons.
Oh. Of course.
But didn't I do the audience a favor by getting us banned? Because this tape that we're hearing of us from 1991 hosting a show called Request Video on Channel 56 down in Anaheim is, believe me, as painful as it is for you, the K-Rock listener, to hear, imagine how it is for us.
Now, Bean, knowing he's on television, decides he's going to start doing some visual comedy. And I hate to ruin the joke for you, but I have to explain it to you. He'll talk about, in this segment, Christmas coming up. And it's October, mind you. And he says, hey, I got the Christmas issue of Rolling Stone magazine. And it had Jerry Garcia from the Grateful Dead on the cover.
Right.
And he's got a big picture of Santa Claus and the cover of Rolling Stone. And he keeps showing to them the camera, comparing the two, saying, look, Santa Claus is on Rolling Stone. That's the joke.
Because Jerry Garcia looks like a fat Santa.
Has a white
Santa.
Beard.
Sure.
That's the joke. And you will hear it do just as well on the show as here in the studio when I explained it.
We're going to take a call here in a minute, too. Have you got any Christmas stuff in the mail yet?
No, it's October.
I know it is, but look what I got. The Christmas issue of Rolling Stone.
Already
which seems
out.
A little odd, I know, but...
This is me doing comedy.
Warning. You tell me. Is it the Christmas issue of Rolling Stone or not? An incredible simulation? No, I don't think so. Jerry Garcia is Santa Claus. Yeah. I just wanted to bring that in because it is October, and please, we urge you again, kill it with the whole Christmas junk. You know what we're saying?
We're begging you.
All right, let's take that call, shall we?
Oh. What's that smell? Oh, it's that bit. It's just laying there dying on stage.
Oh, is it any wonder the rest of the world hates us?
Let's take that call.
And by the way, those calls were all high-quality calls.
12-year-olds waiting for more Clarence Thomas updates. That's who was calling in.
I missed your Clarence Thomas chunk. Can you get into that again?
So we go to commercial, and Kevin comes out of commercial with some hilarious comedy.
Hi, welcome back to the Adventures of Mark and Brian. Oh, it's just a joke. I'm Kevin. This is Bean. We do the morning show from 106.7 K-Rock.
Because that was a show.
That was just a joke, Kevin says.
That they were doing.
In case anybody really thinks they're Mark and Brian. No, that was just a joke.
By the way, if you have to say that was just a joke,
you're in trouble.
Yeah. That's the first sign of something that wasn't funny.
That's a way to beg for laughs, is what that is.
Yeah. If you don't know if the audience is going to know whether it's a joke or not, you might want to cut it out of your routine.
Let me make a note of that.
Yeah, it was pretty strong. During this segment, you guys are apparently going to Scotland. At this point on the radio show, you're going
Okay.
We were going to go look for the Loch Ness Monster.
Right.
Yeah. And Bean had a reputation for getting hurt when you guys would travel.
Bean gets hurt every time we go anywhere. Still does.
So you guys were raffling off his body parts. Which one was going to get hurt?
Oh, yeah. That's right. People would call in and they would pick a body part.
I'll take the left arm or whatever.
Yeah. Later we were going to pay them off when he got hurt.
They won Oingo Boingo tickets if they were right. So there's this big cardboard cutout of Bean.
Right.
Which, oddly enough, is sort of a precursor to how we take pictures with him now.
Sure.
Right.
And you were holding it at the time, pointing the different body parts, and then you get tired of holding it, so you hand it to Bean.
Do you want to hold yourself? Because frankly, I'm not.
Look, I'm tired of holding myself. I've been single for so long.
Okay.
You'll get that in about 5 minutes. Oh, tired of holding himself. I get it now.
Wow. These are the jokes. I don't dance.
I always love the comedian that says the joke and then no one laughs and they go, you'll get it in about 5 minutes.
Right.
As if that's
your
the problem.
Fault.
Are we done?
Finally, you guys start playing some videos. And the producer starts yelling at you, too, because you're not doing it properly.
But hard to believe.
How do you play videos properly?
That's what I would like to know. She starts screaming at you, just read it. Just read the cue cards. And at the end, Bean once again shows that he has his finger on the pulse of pop culture. How he has just vision to see the great talents that are around you at the time that you guys recorded this.
Shall we get to the video? This video is next, Claudia? After the break?
Speak up,
this
Claudia.
This video is
speak,
now.
Talk.
Now.
Talk now. No, is it next? Is it coming?
Read it.
Just read it. Metallica, Enter Sandman for Robert in Moreno Valley.
Plus the Vandals, Pizza Train for Jim in Orange. And?
Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit for Peter in Fullerton. Can you tell that we're reading?
That's a bad title for a song. We'll be right back. It's KDOC.
Smells Like Teen Spirit. That's a bad title for a song. You're right. That band's never going anywhere.
Nothing ever came to them, right?
That song's going to drop right off the map. What a horrible title for a song.
Maybe these losers.
That was maybe the best song of all time. What a piece of crap that is. I think it's been number one on every rock list ever, the greatest rock songs ever. That's a horrible title for a song. Those guys will never make.
Evan, not a pet parent. Bean, not a pet parent. Lisa, on the other hand, pet parent.
Bingo.
Ralph has a particular hate for this type of person, and we thought that we would let him describe the pet parent to you first.
Yeah, the pet parent's a familiar animal. You know this person because they dress their dogs up in clothing like a person. They treat them like an actual member of the family. Mm-hmm. They get, you know, their photos taken with them at Santa Claus around Christmas time. These are the people that PetSmart depend on for their yearly income. These are people filling the aisles at PetSmart, buying toys and trinkets and special water for their dog, bottled water for their dogs. And, you know, just people,
Lisa.
People who just get go nuts, have a warped perspective of what role the family pet plays in the hierarchy of the family. That's
now,
the people we're concerned with.
We've talked about this before quite a bit. And every time the subject comes up, our own little Lisa May just kind of sneaks back
boop
away from the microphone.
Little mouth goes, boop, close.
Boop. I'm just going to sit back here and not
see. Yeah, no, you guys are right.
Me.
Those people are bad.
Go ahead.
Stupid.
Ralph, I hate to cut off your anger at the knees, but I need to make one correction. They're no longer called pets, say the pet parents. They are now animal companions is what they prefer to be used
sorry,
as.
Sorry, my bad.
They're not really pets because that suggests a subservient role for the animal rather than what the truth is, which is that you're equal to your dog.
Well, there was a law in San Francisco, they were trying to get past these pet nuts who were trying to get the phrase pet owner legally changed to pet guardian.
Yes.
So that we wouldn't think of them as something we owned anymore, as our property, but meant more sort of someone we adopted.
Part of the family. Absolutely.
Now, would one hint toward whether you're a pet parent or not be if, say, I don't know, I'm just going to throw this out crazily as an example, is if the animal gets to decide who's on the bed during sex, not the people actually having sex?
I think that would be a factor that would roll in. If you're having sex and you allow your animals to run rampant all over the mattress during the act and you don't really take a stand, I think that would qualify as someone who is perhaps at the wrong end of the leash, let's say, when it comes to dogs.
This is a pet parent intervention with Lisa May. That's what this is, ladies and gentlemen.
I do have a little stool by my bed so the little doggies can actually get up on the bed because they're too short. Otherwise, they can't actually get up. So
now, Lisa, why don't you take the stool away when you're having sex, so they can't get up on the bed?
Yelled at me 100 times, I did.
Lisa has said
in the past, they no longer are on the bed during sex.
She has said in the past that she allows the dogs in the bed during sex. And if the dog licks you and that freaks you out, then you don't deserve to be there.
You're not the guy for her.
Right.
It did turn out to be a pretty good test of concentration.
Yeah, well, no kidding. If you're getting licked by an animal.
But the reason that they actually were on the bed is because if you lock them out, they would just scratch the door to pieces.
Right,
and
because
cry and
they're
whine
in charge of you.
Yes, because they're poorly trained animals.
That's
and,
correct.
And you don't take a stand.
So
number one
is they're in the room, by the way.
Right.
I'm letting them off. You know, the bed is one thing. I don't even want them in the room.
So number one, Lisa, your animals control you when it comes to your sex life, and that's not good. But I have a couple of other examples that I wanted to bring up. First of all, of course, remember when we did the chip that read your mind?
Uh-huh.
The computer chip that read your mind?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And we all tried it on for the weekend, and this was Lisa May's mind.
My dogs. I wonder what my dogs are doing. Hey, that looks like my dog. Hey, look, a fire hydrant. My dog would like that. Hey, look, a car. My dog would like to chase that car. I wonder if my dog's anal glands are full. Hey, that guy's attractive. I'd like to have sex with him while my dog's walking. I wish I was a dog. Hey, look at that dog. If I was a dog, I'd have sex with that dog and let my dogs watch.
See? That's what's going on in your head.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know the story,
sometimes
Lisa has to manually express her dog's anal glands because it has some sort of ass disease or something. And so she's got to do this on a regular basis.
Yeah.
See, Puppy Lake right there for
me. Absolutely.
No,
I'd take him into the vet. I would at least do that. I'd take him to the vet and say, give him the big shot. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'd take him to the vet for. Now, we had a pet psychic on while you were on vacation, Bean.
Yes.
And Lisa brought in one of her dogs. Which one was it? Maggie.
Little
okay.
Spoiled Maggie.
So she brings in this little spoiled dog.
And Maggie's not a real dog. It's one of those little yip yip rat dogs,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's one of those dogs that she considers a full 100% human being, equal to all of us, maybe a bit better.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay? Two things happened that while the dog was in here, and I have to tell you about them. She actually said about her dog while it was in here, as if it were 100% human. And I wrote it down verbatim so I wouldn't forget it.
All right.
I'm in trouble now. When Maggie gets home from work, as if Maggie knows what work is,
right?
She's going to tell my other dog, Liza, all about it.
See?
I wrote this verbatim.
And then Liza's going to get jealous.
Hang on.
Yes.
She's going to tell her the whole story, and then Liza won't talk to me for a week.
Oh, Lisa.
And she did. She froze
sad.
Me out for a couple of days.
No, she didn't.
She said that.
You
she
bring did. The food. That's all they care about.
She Look, looked at me funny.
I'm sorry, Ralph was wrong. Your dog isn't the one that needs the big shot. Dog's fine, by the way. Give the dog a new odor. Dog's fine. I got no problem with the dog. You got to go, Lisa.
She said that with a straight face like she really thought it was going to happen.
Yeah.
This is after telling us her dog smiled, by the way.
She does smile.
No, my dog smiles. My dog can smile like a person.
No, it can't.
Maggie smiles.
No, she doesn't. She's got just teeth that stick out from her lip. That's all.
Here's what pet parents do. They try their best their entire lives long to prove that their dogs are human beings. And the thing is that their dogs aren't human beings. They're dogs. They're just dogs.
I
they're just animals
that,
that
just
we live with.
I just think I take good care of them. I brush their teeth. I take
Great.
Care of Maggie's anal glands. I make sure they get good walks.
Right. Good. That's what you should do as a pet owner.
Right. I do all
Does the
that.
Word owner bug you? Does it drive you crazy?
A little.
Yeah, it goes against the grain, doesn't
bit,
it?
A little bit, yeah.
You're
a
dog owner. Because you're mommy. You're
I
a dog mommy.
I don't think of them as property.
You think of yourself as mommy and them
yes.
as your kids.
We're all a family.
No, you're not. They are animals you own.
Now, B, listen to this. I have one more quote that I wrote down, and this is just awesome.
This is the best one ever.
Lisa was mentioning that when she goes out of town.
Sometimes.
Her ex-husband comes over to watch the dogs.
Right.
Okay.
Which is pretty nice, right?
Fair enough. Makes sense. You need somebody to look after him if you're gone.
So Ralph says to Lisa, your ex-husband watches your dogs while you're away? And Lisa says, and I wrote this down, he should. He doesn't pay anything for them. As if they're kids.
He doesn't get any dog support, in other words.
Yes.
Well, let's
He should come over and watch him. He doesn't pay anything for him. He doesn't pay child support.
She sounded like an embittered single mom
yes.
who has a hard time dealing with her kids because her deadbeat dad won't cash up.
I'm just saying, like, one time I called him and said, could you pick him up at the groomer? Because I can't. I have a thing. So he did, but he didn't pay for it. Which I thought that would have been nice just once to like.
They're your dogs!
I understand that. He gets to play and visit with them if he wants.
He gets custody once a weekend?
I mean, I certainly offer him the weekends. He never takes it.
Well, because they're not children. The relationship ended. The dogs went with you. You're the owner of the dogs now.
They're your dogs. They're not his dogs.
He doesn't need visitation rights for freaking dogs.
It's just, it would have been
he
a
wants
nice
to play with a
gesture.
Dog and get his own dog.
Lisa, it's a
they're
nice
really
gesture
expensive.
That he comes over and watches them while you're gone.
He picks them up the freaking groomer.
That's a nice gesture.
That's a treat. For him.
It's no, not a treat, it's not.
A chore. It's not a treat.
He gets to hang out with Liza and Maggie for 3 or 4 days.
Lisa.
How much fun is that?
3 or 4 days.
I made my decision.
Thank
You're
you.
Fired.
Seriously, who is on the wrong side of the leash, like Ralph says? We got a pet parent right here
Your
among us.
Your perspective is warped.
I'm just saying.
That doesn't
yeah,
work
but
here.
Still.
Ralph did counter with yeah, but still.
Yeah, I did.
So you can't.
I needed yeah. to go with yeah, but still.
I think,
Seriously, Lisa.
I think Puppy Lake is the only option.
And
again,
for
you,
me?
Not for
you.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Traffic
yes.
Lady Lake.
And if you're the type of person who is easily offended by the remarks you're about to hear, please address your emails and your fatwas to kevin@krock.com.
Bean
that email address again is kevin@krock.com.
Ralph@krock.com.
Won't you please enjoy?
Lisa@krock.com.
I love the fact that there is porn for whatever turns you on. Whatever your style is, whatever your interest is. If you like the hairy women, there's porn for that. If you like bald guys, there's porn for that. There's pretty much everything. And we got a press release across our desk the other day, Lisa. I don't know if you saw this or not. But there is an independent porn studio in the San Fernando Valley that is going to start making Muslim-themed porn.
Really?
Which
not
the guy says sexually active men have much better and more positive things to do than hack off heads, blow people up, and generally try to F things up. If Muslim men would just take off dresses and bomb belts, rip the veils and panties off their women,
And take a little, I could say that, the world would be a much more peaceful place.
I see. The theory is they're just so repressed.
Yes.
That it's coming out in these socially unacceptable ways.
Yes.
Exactly. That's what
murder
he is
and mayhem.
Suggesting.
So he's doing Hardcore Islam, a love story. He's doing Spring Break in Mecca. He's doing Islam rated triple X, and he is doing Medina Ghetto Hoochie Mama.
It seems like a great idea. I like his theory.
That's what he's doing.
I don't know he'll survive the week, but
you go, boy. The problem is, you try to sell porn in some, you know, Muslim communities, it seems like you're asking for it. It seems it's not going to be received well. So we asked Lightning to do a little bit of research. He was not able to get this producer on the line for us, but we learned in the process of discovery that guy's not the only guy making porn for this Muslim community. And he has lined up for us producer Abdul Al-Jizwadi, who is the producer with Muhammad's Mamas, is the line of DVDs that he has out in stores. Mr. Al-Jizwadi, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
How you doing, babies? How you doing today, babies?
We're very good, thank you.
We're fine.
Good day, babies. A good day for you, babies.
Now, where do you... Are you in the San Fernando Valley as well?
No, my friend. I'm in Baghdad.
Oh, you're in Iraq.
Yes, we heard the story about the Americans making Islamic porn films. It's like, why should they make all the money?
I see. Okay. Okay.
Generate our own adult entertainment so the Iraqis can make some money, you know, babies.
See, I would have thought, Abdul, that the Muslim people would be upset about this.
Of course they are, but a buck's a buck, you know?
Okay.
Look, a fella's got to make couscous when he can, you know what I'm saying?
Now, I'm sure you get asked this all the time, sir, but I imagine the joke would be all you have to do is, you know, is show some elbow and you've got some hot stuff for the Muslim community because the women are so covered up in much of the world.
That's funny, babies. Yeah, that's very funny. No, we're going hardcore, babies.
Hardcore.
We want to show Islamic community that sex is a healthy, natural thing, and you can look at some hot porn and really have a good time.
Have you started producing movies yet, or are you just...
We've got about 20 different titles already ready for distribution, my babies.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
Like what?
Well, first of all, we've got two big porn stars. First, Iraqi porn stars.
Okay.
They'll be starring in all of our products.
Okay, what are their names?
We have Fatima Lynn.
Yes.
Who's a very beautiful Iraqi woman.
Uh-huh.
And her partner, Al Jazeera.
His porn name is Al Jazeera?
Al Jazeera, yes. The two of them make magic babies. They're incredible together.
Okay.
The first one, they put it together. We put it together. Amazing film. A holiday film. Holiday classic, we think.
Mm-hmm.
Ramadan or Ramadan.
Well, that sounds good. I think
very
I might watch that.
It's very hot.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Then we follow that up with our next feature film, which is incredible, called Hezbollah Jizbollah.
Stop it. For God's sakes. What is wrong with you?
You're not going to believe how hot it is.
Come on, Abdul.
What do you like? What do you like for porn, fellas? What can I send for you? What do you like? You like oral?
Yeah, sure.
How about Islamic licking?
Oh.
How about open wide and say Allah?
But yeah, I have to ask you, Abdul, I'll just want... Yes, Abdul Al-Jizwadi is on the line with us with the Muhammad's Mama's porn titles. In an era where cartoonists have death threatened for drawing pictures of Allah, can you really put his name in a porn movie? Aren't you concerned about the fallout?
Let me tell you something. You look at a cartoon of Muhammad, right? You go, oh, I'm so angry, I want to kill somebody. You look at one of my films, you look under Fatima's burqa, you look at one of that, and you go, oh, I want to kill somebody. Hey, look at what's happening in my penis.
I see. So they'll be sidetracked.
I forget all about killing somebody.
So you're doing this...
Get a business, you know what I'm saying?
So you're doing this for the good of humanity.
That's right, because guys who are taking care of their guns cannot pick up their guns, you know what I'm saying?
I got you.
Okay. Right. I got you. All right.
Smoking hot Iraqi Bukkake series.
Stop it.
That series is incredible. They're starting off with number one, Splatter the Human Shield.
Oh, God. Yes?
Following up with Cover Her With Your Curds.
Oh.
Wow.
God.
That's such a hot series, my baby.
It sounds like... Sounds good. You know what? Just ship all of those over, if you would.
I'll tell you, wait till you see Dropping the Dirty Bomb.
Okay.
We've got something for everyone over in Iraq. We got the Kurds covered. Of course, we're covering it with your Kurds. We have an upper Shiite hole.
Oh, come on.
And stick it where the Sunni don't shine.
You're covering all your bases there, Abdul.
I think we are. I've got orders coming in right now. I got
to
go.
Okay, well, thanks for talking to us today.
Ralph Harmon's got the showbiz beat. Hey, Ralph.
You just say Ralph Harmon? He just said Ralph Harmon. Wait a minute. Let's pull back the curtain. Back up that tape, that introduction that Bean gave to me for the showbiz beat. And let's listen carefully to what he says.
I think maybe he was lulled to sleep by Kevin going through 9 million details of that contest we're having. Maybe, but he got sloppy. But let me just hear what he calls me.
Here's Bean.
All right.
So keep listening for a chance to qualify for that. Right now, Ralph Harmon's got the showbiz beat. Hey, Ralph.
He called me Ralph Harmon. That's the kind of respect I get around here.
That's awesome!
Ralph
Harmon. Yeah, but they recorded that. They're pre-recorded.
I know.
They didn't even think to take it again.
You know what? Let's do a second take on that. Let's call Ralph by his right name. Nah, it's good enough.
Screw it. Harmon's
cool. Close.
Close enough.
Not even Mark Harmon. At least that'd be cool.
He's a handsome man.
NCIS, CIA, FBI, PDQ.
New York. Las Vegas.
Ralph Harmon.
Shut up.
Two, please. Ralph Harmon.
Get out. I'm angry. There's going to be hell to pay for that. Save that piece of tape.
Will
Psycho
do.
Psycho Mike, all
Will
right?
Will do, yes.
All right, let's talk about the showbiz news. Last night on Larry King, Paris Hilton spoke for an hour. I didn't find her nearly as hateable as I thought I was going to. She seemed to be dumb, don't get me wrong, but no worse than a lot of spoiled brats in Beverly Hills. She disclosed to us that she doesn't do drugs or abuse alcohol. All right? She suffers from claustrophobia. She hates to be alone. She takes medication for ADD. Adderall, I think, she said. And she said, being strip searched was one of the most humiliating experiences of my life. I never had to do that in front of someone I didn't know. It's pretty embarrassing. It's pretty gross taking your clothes off in front of someone like that.
Oh, stop it.
If they had had a night vision lens, would it have been easier for her to do? Here's Paris talking about how the grub is inside the jug.
Lunch is basically a bologna sandwich, which is, they just give you this bologna, which is like, they call it mystery meat. It's pretty scary. And two pieces of bread and some mayonnaise with some orange juice.
Yeah. Who's had more experience putting mystery meat in their mouth than Paris Hilton?
Oh!
You know what I'm saying? Do you get me? See what I've done there? Yeah. Larry King, by the way, was a horrible, horrible interviewer, as he always is. But not as bad as he was the previous night when he was talking to the surviving Beatles.
Oh, that was bad.
Yeah. He was asking Paul and then Ringo where they were when John Lennon was shot, how they heard about the news. Listen to this fiasco.
Where were you when John passed?
When John passed, I was in Sussex, at my home in Sussex.
Somebody called you?
Yeah. My manager at the time called me. That was just the shock of all shocks, you know.
George, where were you?
George?
No, this is Ringo.
Ringo, where were you?
I was in the Bahamas.
I was getting to it when George
passed.
You weren't, Larry.
Just shut up, it's my turn.
I know, but you've got your name wrong, Ringo.
I know,
Ringo.
Give him a break.
We can't
anyway,
play. It's
I
life.
Was in the Bahamas.
Larry King needs to retire. He's a senile old fool. After that happened, they were in Vegas for the Cirque du Soleil Love show, the one-year anniversary. That's what that show was celebrating.
Right.
There was a ceremony afterwards where they dedicated some plaques there at the hotel for Paul, Ringo, George, and John.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry King got up on the dais and said, soon people will be able to see the Love show featuring the Beatles all over the world. Someone had to step up and say, no, Larry, it's just here at the Mirage Hotel Casino. It's not going to be anywhere else. And then as he dedicated the plaques, he congratulated Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, who, of course, was there, the memory of the late John Lennon, and then saluted George Hamilton.
No, he didn't.
George Hamilton! Cracker salesman George Hamilton.
What's wrong with
that? That's who he dedicated that last plaque to. George Hamilton. John Paul, Ringo, and George Hamilton, the Beatles.
Somewhere on Miami Beach, though, George Hamilton's like, yes! Nice!
I'm in the Beatles. Woo! And lastly, here's some music news. K-Rock fans, take heart. Weezer's going back into the studio.
Woo!
How about that?
Yeah!
Head in the studio next month to start recording their sixth album. There's no title yet, but it will be a follow-up to their 2005 release, Make Believe. Rivers posted on the official Weezer website that the new CD will be out in 2008, so that's something to look forward to. Also, if you're a fan of Britpop band The Verve, they're reuniting for an album and tour. They were pretty big back in the 90s.
A bittersweet symphony that is life.
Thank you, Adam Sandler.
That's more of Andy Gibb.
Richard Ashcroft's been in the studio with most of the rest of the group, and the new CD should also be out next year sometime. But the real music news, it just broke today. Dave, the King of Mexico, and I could not be more excited. Dave said to me, hey, Ralph Harmon, look what's going on in the news. We found out a band that has been played together in 10 years is getting back together.
If you want to be my lover,
oh yeah.
You have got to give
it up now.
Taking is too easy, but that's the way.
know how I feel.
The Spice Girls reuniting for the first time in 10 years. They're kicking off an 11-city world tour here in Los Angeles, December 7th. No word yet on what venue, but you know I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there, and I'm, you know what I'm going to be doing? Zig, zig, ah. That's what I'm going to be doing.
Is that true?
Yeah. Zig, zig, ah. That's what I'm going to be doing.
I'm sorry.
I don't even know what that means, but I'm going to be doing it.
Who is this showbiz brought to you by?
So keep listening for a chance to qualify for that. Right now, Ralph Harmon's got the showbiz beat. Hey, Ralph.
It's me, Ralph Harmon. I walk the showbiz beat.
I don't know why this happens, but we all have things that drive us a little crazy.
But wait till you find out what makes Omar insane. All right, we got to take care of some business here because there's hate in the room.
Well, tell me who this chick is, because I don't like her much either, but I don't know anything about her.
I know very little about her. Rachel Ray is her name. She has probably 10 of the best-selling cookbooks of the last 2 years on the bestsellers list. She's enormously popular. She had a show on the Food Network that was very popular.
And then she
got picked up, and now she has her own nationally syndicated daytime show that I think airs at like 10 in the morning or something like that.
I think I saw like one news piece on her. I don't know if it was – I don't remember what it was, but she just struck me as annoying.
Annoying. She didn't look annoying at all to me. She just looked so fake.
She's
average.
A little overly perky.
I was annoyed.
She does have a little bit of the Kelly Ripa overly perky kind of
a little
chick.
Bit. What's wrong with
but
you?
But she's so small on my radar. Like, yes. I don't have any clue who she is or where she came from. You say she's on the Food Network. I never watched that. I don't know anything about her. She just struck me that one time as being annoying. Omar, who's in the studio now, is obsessed with, he's being eaten alive by hatred for her.
No, I don't know what it is. I have never seen her talk for more than a minute. I didn't even know she was on the Food Network. Just, she came into my life a year ago, and the second I saw her on TV, I couldn't turn off the TV fast enough. She sickens me.
Here's how.
I hate Dane Cook, okay? But the reason I hate him is because he's not funny. Mm-hmm. And he's hugely successful and popular in comedy, yet he's not funny. What is it that Rachel Ray has that burns you?
Just the way she... I'm so cute, but I'm not skinny, but I'm not too fat, so everybody will like me.
She doesn't say any of those things.
I wouldn't know because I don't listen to her.
That's the sentiment coming through whatever word she's saying. Mm-hmm. Now, here's how this came into my life. I saw a Wheat Thins box with holes cut in it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what in God's name is this? Why would anybody cut holes in a box?
Yeah,
besides Psycho Mike, and we know why he would do that.
Right.
And I found out that it was Omar because Rachel Ray's picture was on a box of Wheat Thins.
Yeah.
And he tried to take them back to the store because he was outraged that Rachel Ray was on the box of Wheat Thins.
You didn't want to have that box in your house?
No. Yeah. I was pretty upset at my girlfriend from bringing it into my house.
Went back to the store, talked to the manager, tried to return them.
Tried to get a box from like in the back. You know, I went and made him go check in the back, see if they had, you
get
know.
Get like an Osama bin Laden box or something that's less offensive.
Something.
Wheat Thins, fine. Picture of her, offensive. So much so that he went back to the store to ask for a refund.
I want to make sure I understand. One of the reasons you hate her is because she's not too fat and she's not too thin. She's just kind of average build.
No, that's...
How do you hold that against her?
That's... She thinks she does it for a reason, dude. And I know she's got some sort of sick secret that she like kicks puppies in the dark and she eats babies.
So,
dude, I know there's something wrong, dude. No.
So he can't return the box of Wheat Thins, so he cuts out the picture of her face on four different sides of the box. You can see there's a picture up at the krock.com. Go to the Kevin and Bean sites page. There's a picture of Omar with the box that he's cut. He cut it, and he didn't do this like as a bit. He did it out of rage.
Oh, yeah, and then every time I go into like a bookstore and I see her books or whatever, I'll turn them around so they don't face with her face.
Do the eyes follow you?
Yeah, it bugs me.
All right.
One time I was at a Circuit City and her show was on, and I just, you know, I talked to the whoever was working there and I made him change the channel on all the TVs.
On all of them?
Because I was in the store.
All right. Let's say good morning to Chris in Hollywood. Good morning, Chris.
Listen, I live with my girlfriend. We've been living together for 3 years, and she's been watching her for a while. And I don't usually watch cooking shows because I don't cook. And I started watching her, and she is so incredibly hot.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you? Hang up on this guy.
I used to love Omar. I thought he was so awesome. I felt so bad for him, but now I realize he's an idiot.
Well, I hate you.
She's not. I wouldn't go hot so far as to say she's hot, but she's an attractive, yeah. I guess.
No. Chris, if your picture was on Wheat Thins, Omar would cut your face out.
You're dead to me.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, I heard you guys talking about how Omar hates Rachel Ray. This email from Dave begins, I want to let you know that I firmly stand behind him. I can't stand her face either. I saw the Wheat Thins box at the grocery store and informed my wife we would not buy Wheat Thins anymore until she was taken off the box. I searched through the boxes to find an older one without her stomach-turning head on it. How can I eat crackers with that doughy Quasimodo looking back at me? I hate her with the power of a thousand suns. Tell Omar I'm on his side. There's nothing wrong with his behavior. I would like to start a movement to rid the planet of this obnoxious jelly roll.
That's what I'm talking about.
We got this on the Afro line.
Omar, you are so right. Rachel Ray is a
But the point is that Kevin makes is, why is a woman that we barely know exists, how did she become elevated to terror cell that Jack Bauer needs to be called
she's
in on?
She's not even on the radar.
Just rubs me the wrong way. But I don't know what it is about her.
All right. Andrew in Pasadena is another guy who tried to return the box because she was on it.
No.
Are you kidding?
No, dead serious. My ex-girlfriend and I, we always used to buy the Wheat Thins. And she came home with them one day, and she came home with two boxes, and one had the face, and one didn't. And I can't stand Rachel Ray.
Why?
I love cooking, and I watch the Food Network all the time. I've seen her show. She makes me want to throw up. First of all, she's not a cook, but she has shows on the Food Network talking about $40 a day, and she has these awful responses to everything she eats. You know, she'll eat something, she goes, that's tasty, and it only cost me $5.
Oh, God.
But isn't that what people who are watching cooking shows want? Is something you can make that's cheap and
something
tastes
about
good?
Her that's
it's
instantly
not
annoying.
Something that you can make. She goes to different towns and tells you how you can live on $40 a day in each different town.
Super Whore, by the way.
The beach, like, yeah, right.
Our sister producer, Super Whore, says that Oprah discovered her, too. So that's like strike one, two, and three right
the guy
there.
Who called, who said she's hot, should be fired immediately.
From dialing the phone?
Yeah. Doesn't work for us.
We can't fire a phone caller.
Life.
All right, fire from life. Okay.
let's take one more. Let's go down to Huntington Beach. We've got Eric on the line who also would like to weigh in. Apparently, there's a big Rachel Ray controversy brewing in this country that I was not aware of. I thought Al-Qaeda was the enemy. Apparently, no. It's Rachel Ray.
I hate RachelRay.com coming soon.
Oh, really? Nice, Omar. Eric in Huntington Beach. Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Rachel Ray, I didn't know she existed until Omar cut out her picture on the box.
Oh, she is the most annoying person on the planet. My sister TiVos her show every effing day and makes me watch it.
She can't make you watch it? Wait a minute, Eric. She can't make you watch the show?
I come home from work and that crap is always on.
Wait, what, you don't have legs?
It never comes off the TV.
Is she more annoying, seriously, than Joan Rivers, for instance?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah.
Say that, but she makes up her own language that doesn't make any sense.
You know, like Joan Rivers and Rosie, it's like a train wreck. You know, you can't wait to see where the hell this goes. With some reason,
it's clearly bad.
Yeah, yeah, her, it's just nothing. It's just all sweet and non-offensive and just be real. It's just like,
you know what?
Fake.
That's
too freaking fake.
That's what annoyed me about her. You put your finger on she instantly to me she seemed fake.
Yeah,
she was very Rick Dees-esque, where she just is full of hype and no substance.
It's nonstop 100% of the time. It's
why do you have to hate what you don't understand?
Omar, Amy and Tustin says, have you tried her recipe? She's helping working moms.
Shut up!
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's and you're listening.
Well, that explains why you didn't get the job. We got this email earlier today. I think it bears repeating. Dear Kevin and Bean, on behalf of Donald J. Trump, NBC, and the Miss USA organization, I would like to ask if Kevin Ryder would be interested and available to be our show's announcer for the 2007 Miss USA pageant. The pageant will be broadcast live on NBC from 9 till 11 from the Kodak Theater in Los Angeles on March the 23rd. Kevin would announce our opening titles and all of our bumpers throughout the two-hour telecast. So the date is quickly approaching. I would love to hear your thoughts sooner rather than later. Kevin, you got this email in your box yesterday and said what?
Well, I deleted it because I thought it was a joke.
You figured it was Jimmy Kimmel or somebody playing a prank on you?
Yeah, I just thought somebody was making fun of me because of the Grammy thing.
You're not suggesting it's not a joke, are you? I'm sure it's a joke.
Well, we thought we got to find out who on earth would be trying to get Kevin on the Miss USA pageant. I mean, not that it's not a tremendous honor, but clearly he's unqualified to speak for professionally, right?
Right.
So we asked Lighting to line us up somebody, and we have Phil Gurin on the line. He's the executive producer of the Miss USA pageant, which again airs Friday, March 23rd at 9 on NBC. Phil, thanks for joining us. I know you're very busy this morning. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Good morning.
So, 56th annual Miss USA pageant is happening a week from Friday, and you're saying goodbye to the party girl. Tara Conner's gone, right?
Tara's, you know, she's come through a lot this past year, but we are going to definitely say goodbye. Thank her for all the good things she did, and, you know, wish her well.
Okay. Yeah, well, she has done more for Miss USA than any Miss USA contestant I can think of in a long time, my friend. She was a gem. So, right now, you do not have an announcer for the show for that Friday night?
No, we do not, and we're really excited here.
Based on...
Phil, have you personally heard any of my announcing?
Personally? Well, I listen to you on the radio.
Yeah. Hmm. Really? That didn't dissuade you?
Because that would have dissuaded me. That's almost dissuaded us from having him on the radio show, much less anything else. Phil, I mean, don't you want somebody who's dynamic and exciting and can translate the energy of your pageant to the home viewer?
Well, yeah, and that's why we want Kevin.
And don't you want someone whose voice cuts through? That would be helpful, right?
Look, I hate me more than these guys do. So I thought it was a joke because of we've played very publicly a lot of screw-ups that I've had working on the Grammys. And there's no possible way anybody else could actually want that type of announcing.
I disagree completely. We love the quality of your voice. We love who you are, at least what we publicly know of you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Listen to Phil. This is crazy. Hey, Psycho Mike, do you have any of the tape available?
No,
if we have time, let's just play just a minute or so of what you've got from when Kevin was in the booth for the Grammys.
Shit. Coming up, Shakira and Wyclef Jean. Mary J. Blige in a once-of-a-lifetime performance. To vote for Africa Miranda, send the number 1. To vote for Brenda Radney, send the number 1. Send the number 2. Coming up, Shakira and Wyclef Jean. Mary J. Blige in a once... God damn it. Mary J. Blige in a once-in-a-lifetime performance. Sorry, people. I think it's... Yeah, I also think I screwed up the word 1.
Phil... I think what we're saying is you don't know what you're doing, and we have to have, as a friend, we need to come to you in an intervention capacity. We need to say, we're not going to allow you to eat that last piece of chocolate cake. You need to push away from the table. You need to, seriously, you need help, and we need to say no on Kevin.
Well, I certainly agree I may need help.
Yeah.
But this is an official offer, and we think Kevin would be great for it.
Are you just looking for laughs? Is that it? You just need people are a little depressed. You want to give them something to laugh at?
You know, if you're the – help me out here, Phil. Phil is the executive producer of the Miss USA pageant on the line talking about next Friday's pageant. If you're the guy who's doing the announcing, don't you have to be able to pronounce all of the states plus the District of Columbia?
No, actually not. We have our – The folks are going to be on camera. We're going to do that. Kevin's going to – we're going to protect ourselves. We're going to have Kevin pre-record all his announce.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only way
smart.
To go. Yeah.
Time-consuming, but smart.
We don't have to worry about him saying it's Miss Ohio or anything like that, right? He'd be fine.
Not at all.
Pre-record.
Well, the problem is it's only 9 days till your show. There's no way you can get it. You can lay it all down and edit it in time for the telecast.
I do require a full month of pre-record time.
Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey. Wow. An unforgettable performance by Corinne Bailey. Boy, I sure can't say her name. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey.
Kevin, Phil says it's a serious offer. He's on the line. He's got to go. What do you say for the Miss USA pageant next Friday night?
Wow. Phil, I'm going to have to talk to you later because I have big reservations about this. So,
can you say, you know, live from the Kodak Theater, it's the Miss USA 2007 pageant?
Questionable. It's questionable at best. I'll take your number and I'll call you, Phil.
All right, well,
I'll call you today.
It's a serious offer. We'd love to have you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, you're very kind, Phil. I think you're in a little way making fun of retarded kids when you're doing this somehow. But we appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean Show with us.
Hey guys, thanks for your time.
See, nice guy. He's doing a real job. He just doesn't know he's in dangerous territory.
Yeah, he does need an intervention. That's
he's
all
heading for an ass whooping, and he doesn't have any idea who's going to get it.
We may not have the same taste as everybody when it comes to women.
But I think we can all agree that there are some cartoon characters that are just too hot not to bang.
We had a conversation off the air the other day, and I think it was a listener who brought up a cartoon character that he wanted to bang. And Ralph's eyes lit up. Oh, my God, does he have a long list of imaginary animated girlfriends.
My first crushes were all animated. When I was a young lad and I was first coming into my burgeoning sexuality, my first tents were pitched over smoking hot cartoons.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's just sad.
No, isn't it? When you're 6 and 7, before you even really know what's going on, you're like, oh, man, she's hot. You're not even sure what hot means, but you know you're attracted and you like the looks of that.
What's happening to me down there?
Exactly. Why are my pajamas all filling up when I'm sitting here eating my cereal on Saturday mornings? I didn't know what was going on. But there was a whole list of kakilfs that I wanted to, you know, mess around with.
Isn't there, what was that?
Kakilfs.
Kakilfs?
Cartoon characters I'd like to.
Oh, I see. Okay. I don't really have that category. I know there's that category of porn as well, where you can go, you can see Simpsons porn, you can see any cartoons that you want, you can see them having sex.
Yeah, that's a little disturbing.
Yeah,
quite
I don't.
Frankly.
I am not.
I don't
want to
see Betty Rubble, you know, giving Fred a hummer.
No,
you know,
really.
That's a little weird.
But you have people that you'd like to have sex with that are actually cartoon characters.
And I've never gotten over those crushes. I still hold on to them.
Now, Ralph, I think what you're describing is kind of what Jessica Rabbit was parodying, right? I mean, she was almost making fun of cartoon characters are sexy, and that's why they drew her that way and made her that kind of character from Who Framed Roger Rabbit, right?
Exactly. There's sort of a legend that a lot of artists, especially comic book artists and cartoon artists, are geeky guys who never get hot chicks.
Which is true.
So they play out that fantasy by making their female characters just unbelievably sexy and pretty and hot.
Here's Jessica Rabbit.
Why don't you do right? Some other
man. Yeah.
Woo! That's Ralph in the background. Woo!
The guy's like, woo! God, his eyes are coming out. And the tongue sticks out. You know? I'm not really bad. I'm just drawn that way. That's
so
the famous line.
The category is cartoons you want to bang.
Kakilfs.
Yes. Kakilfs.
Cartoon characters you'd like to F.
That is so funny.
Yeah, so that's a real special.
Let's ask Lisa, because I don't think of guy cartoons that girls have crushes on, but has that happened to Lisa?
Well, not when I was a kid.
You should have heard Alex in the other room. Alex,
really?
Our assistant producer, going off on He-Man. All she wanted to do was bang He-Man.
Yeah.
He said He-Man looked like a homo. He had that little page boy, a blonde page boy haircut, and it's like, hi, I'm He-Man. Walked around, all muscled out and buff, like one of Mike's pals at the gym.
Maybe we need this.
Due to some graphic and mature content, parental discretion is advised.
They're cartoons! How dirty can we get?
Well, let's talk to Gina in Compton. Good morning, Gina.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hey, Gina.
So there's a cartoon you want to get it on with?
Yeah, it was Thundar the Barbarian.
Oh, Thundar.
Yeah.
He was a stud.
Who's Thundar the Barbarian? I don't know that.
He's kind of a Conan, He-Man-esque.
He's a barbaric character. He used to be on in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of dating myself, but...
You're dating yourself now?
Oh, Kevin.
My God.
You couldn't get Thundar.
You are effed up.
That's ludicrous.
All right, thank you, Gina.
Yeah, he's kind of like a Conan He-Man type guy. Big muscles, broadsword, you know what I mean? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, big sword, big sword. Say no more. Say no more. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Big sword, you bet.
Why go for Thundar, though, when you could just have Conan? Why would you settle for Thundar?
Well, I think our topic
is cartoons.
Yeah.
I don't remember the Conan cartoon.
Was not, he was not in the cartoon, I say. Okay.
Robert in Riverside, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, what cartoon?
Lisa May.
Hi, Robert.
Who's your kakilf, Robert?
Kakilf. Robert?
Robert?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Robert's having himself right now.
He is.
Oh, I'm too busy thinking about Ariel from The Little Mermaid.
Oh,
what would I give to live in
Sing it.
What would I pay to stay here beside you?
What Robert would give is the question.
Yeah, you have to wait till she loses the fin, though, you know? You got to wait till she gets some legs.
Yeah, but, man, I always imagine taking those shells off, you know? Jesus.
That's what I'm talking about.
Shells off, would you?
Yeah, that shell bra, that's got to go.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Robert was shaky right there at the beginning, but I think he brought it home. No one calling about my Powerpuff Girls, by the way.
Oh, that's sick. That's so,
seriously.
They're little girls.
That's so troubling. The body on Bubbles? Come on.
Oh, you're offensive on every level. Emily and Brea, good morning.
Hi.
Hi,
hi, Emily.
Help us out.
I like Trent from Daria.
Trent?
Yes.
No, I have a clip of Trent.
Betrayal, yeah, I'm stretched on the rack. Betrayal, yeah, thrown out of the...
Pack?
Thrown out of the pack. Betrayal.
I don't think that's from Daria. That doesn't sound like a clip from the Daria.
Is that Trent?
It sounds like his voice, probably one of his stupid songs.
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, okay, is it? All right.
Yeah. I thought it was from Saw 3, sorry.
Assistant producer Alex says that Trent ruled, so she would also...
She's with you.
She would be fighting Emily for Trent.
All right. No Wonder Woman from Super Friends, huh? No, that up there?
No, not yet.
She was another big one for me.
Not yet.
It was the lasso. I kept thinking she would tie me up and make me do things.
Raul in Riverside.
What's up, neighborhood?
Hey, Raul.
What's going on? Who's in the neighborhood? What cartoon would you like to bang?
April O'Neil from the Ninja Turtles.
Rip
she
off.
Used to wear that little yellow
jumpsuit. I know.
With the zipper down a little bit.
Oh, yeah. You know? Make me crazy. Just wanted to pull that zipper down.
I used to have her action figure and her arms would stick out just enough, you know?
Oh, Raul, for God's sake. Come on. That's a whole different topic, people who do it with an animated.
Yeah, it is.
Come on. Would hump the action figure.
The action figure.
Now, the King of Mexico
is
lodging a formal complaint that in his opinion, April had a fupa, so she is unacceptable as a cartoon crush.
No.
That's what Dave said.
Did the action figure have a fupa?
Action figure actually had a little bit of stretch marks going on right there.
Is that right?
Oh, okay. When you were done with her.
Yeah, exactly. After you got to her.
She was toe up.
And stay tuned right now for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat.
Sure. Now it's Ralph Garman. Where was that an hour ago?
Yeah, so keep listening for a chance to qualify for that. Right now, Ralph Harmon's got the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph.
Yeah, that was last hour's introduction. Ralph Harmon. Ah, see what little regard Kevin and Bean have for me when they go on vacation and record these silly little intros. Anyway, it is 8:57 here on the world-famous K-Rock. 106.7 K-Rock, Pasadena, Los Angeles. We've got the Showbiz Beat coming up. Probably you didn't see it last night. Larry King and Paris Hilton. However, I watched. I watched for you.
You're devoted.
I am devoted. And I got to tell you, we learned a great deal about young Miss Hilton and her ordeal.
Really?
Behind bars in the Linwood facility. She suffers from claustrophobia, Psycho Mike. Did you know that? That would suck to be in prison and be claustrophobic.
She's not accustomed to tight spaces.
Oh! How do you do it? She takes medication for ADD, Adderall. She was strip searched, which was one of the most humiliating experiences of her life. And Larry King also asked her about her reputation as a party girl and what sort of drugs and booze she does.
Have you ever been addicted to drugs?
No.
Taken drugs?
No.
Never taken drugs?
Mm-mm.
Liar! TheSmokingGun.com, by the way, has photos up of Paris in Amsterdam at a hash bar smoking a pipe. Now, they say there's no way to know what's in that pipe.
Right.
But I'm guessing it's not a bubble pipe.
It's the chronic.
Well, who knows? But
I mean, they are in Amsterdam. Come on.
That's what I'm saying. What are you smoking in a pipe in Amsterdam? Any other place you might be able to say, well, she was just smoking, pipe tobacco.
When your grandpa's smoking a pipe while he's doing the crossword puzzle.
Very different.
There's some credence to the theories that
when you're sitting in the Black Banana in Amsterdam, where the hell she was.
Black Banana, oh.
Speaking of which, TMZ.com has announced that Paris was exhausted by talking to Larry King, as I was watching it last night. Apparently, she's going on vacation. TMZ has right now on their website exclusive news that Paris was seen in the International First Class Lounge at LAX this morning. Wearing a disguise, a black wig, and a straw hat, she has left for Maui, apparently. That's where she's going. A little vacation in Hawaii. So if you're going to be in Hawaii over the 4th of July weekend, look around very carefully. You may see Ms. Paris Hilton herself. Hey, you know what I love more than anything?
What do you love, Ralph?
Drunk celebrities caught on tape. I'm going to start collecting them and just playing them at home because they give me so much pleasure. I mean, remember Danny DeVito on The View?
Oh, yeah.
When he was all juiced up?
That was solid. Yeah. That was a solid appearance.
Not since Throw Mama from the Train has he been that entertaining, I'll tell you that much. Then, of course, you can't forget the Hoff, Hasselhoff. See, that's a classic right
there. Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
I'll be fine.
That's a mess.
This is just a mess.
No one will ever top that one, in my opinion. However, you can't knock John Stamos for trying.
Really?
Apparently, he was down in Australia promoting the new season of ER that's about to start showing down there, and he was doing some talk shows. And the local newspaper there, the Daily Telegraph, says he was seen in many bars and strip clubs while he was visiting. He made several appearances on television where he appeared to me, in this humble reporter's opinion, to be loaded. However, his people are claiming that he was just jet-lagged. Mm. Let's play a little taste of him on a morning show in Australia, and you be the judge. Jet-lag or Jägermeister?
I love Australia.
You've
by
been
the way,
in the business.
It's my
Come
favorite
on.
Country.
Jonah, you have been in the business since you were 19.
Can I say that I love
no,
here?
No, I want to ask you. You've been
here,
in the business for 19, for... since you were 19. Why would you
she
let
won't
somebody...
She won't let the guest talk.
Why would you let somebody get under your skin like somebody puts a mean thing in the paper
aren't
about
Aren't I the guest?
Yeah, but why would you let somebody
I
get under your skin?
I love Australia. Let me just say that. I've been here, this is my fourth time. I was here three times with the Beach Boys. Mm. We had Kokomo, which was a big hit down here.
Yeah. If you're bragging about your time with the Beach Boys, you got to be loaded. And that is so like me and my friends when we get into a bar. I love you. Let me talk. I love you. I love this place. I love this bar. I love Australia.
No, but John, you got to understand. You've been in the business.
No, let me talk. I'm just let me talk.
John, I wanted to ask you about
I love Australia. I love Australia.
Okay.
Yeah. John later went on the interview to say he'd like to open a bar in Australia.
Really?
Yes. What a surprise. So there's your latest celebrity drunk videotape. And some interesting news. Victoria Beckham, of course, married to soccer legend John Beckham?
Bon.
What's his name?
David.
David Beckham. That's it. She's customizing her home here in Los Angeles. You know, they moved here because Dave's going to be playing for our team. Here's what she did. She built herself a custom closet. It's got leather floors,
whoa,
a Baccarat crystal chandelier, a computer that keeps track of her wardrobe, what she's worn and when, and a camera that circles her so she can check out her outfit from 360 degrees before she walks out of the closet.
Oh, that's a little pathetic.
How much do you think it costs to make a walk-in closet of that caliber?
You got, think she you spent got the on money it. There? You got the amount?
I have the amount right
now. All right. So I'm going to say...
This is for a closet, okay? She's paid this to customize a closet in her home.
$850,000.
Close. $500,000.
Oh!
$500,000. $500,000 to build a closet. So I started thinking, how is... I mean, I know Becca makes a ton of cash, but that's a lot of money for a closet. How is she going to make that money to support that kind of lifestyle?
One wonders.
And then it hit me when I read the news. Why would she do this? Spice Girls reunion.
Oh, you gotta be my lover.
Oh yeah.
You have got to give. Taking it too easy, but that's the way it is. So what you think about that?
Girl
now
power.
You know how I feel.
Girl power. Zig Zig, just announced this morning the Spice Girls are getting back together. They're going to kick off an 11-city tour here in Los Angeles on December the 7th. If you'd like more details, so you can join me there in the front row, because I'm going to be there. I don't care where it is. I'm going.
That, I'm telling you right now, that is going to have legendary stories of backstage drama and ego and fighting.
Drunken catfights left and right.
It's going
to
be awesome.
Can't wait. TheSpiceGirls.com is the website to go to. If you want more details, more music news, The Verve's getting back together again, too. Richard Ashcroft has said he's back in the studio with the rest of the group. They should have a new CD sometime in 2008, as should Weezer.
What?
Oh, love me some Weezer. They're heading back into the studio next month to start recording their sixth album. Rivers Cuomo has posted it on the official Weezer website that the CD hopefully will be out in 2008. So we got that to look forward to. Good times. Remember that time where Bean bought that Weezer CD off that kid in the parking lot?
I think I do.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Hey, you like the Weezer? I got the new Weezer for you.
That was a moment with Bean. Ralph Harmon. That's going to be a moment with Bean when he gets back. I'm going to punish him for that.
And they didn't even think to redo it.
No.
That's what hurts. I'm hurt for you.
Man, I've been here for a while. Not even the new guy anymore.
Not even close.
I think eventually they'd learn my last name. Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian director Mel Brooks. He's 81 years old today. Kelly Pickler from American Idol. She's now a popular country singer, and she's got new boobies. She's 21 years old. And John Cusack, one of our favorites around here, currently can be seen in 1408, the new movie starring himself, of course, and Samuel L. Jackson in theaters as we speak. Now we return you shortly to the best of Kevin and Bean. Stick around. I'm Ralph.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, your first stop for hard news.
You know, we talk about a lot of different topics on this show, and every once in a while, something will come out of left field and completely surprise us.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what this particular topic did, because we didn't know that there was anyone who was alive today who was afraid of what this guy's afraid of.
Let's talk to K-Rock listener Ronnie about the email we got last week. Hey, Ronnie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and Lisa May.
Good morning.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. How long have you been listening to the little program?
Oh, it's been about 5 years, I think.
Wow. Right. Thank you very much. So I got this email from you at the end of last week. Dear Bean, this email begins, am I the only one that constantly thinks about how they would survive when the dead come back to life to kill the living? You're talking about zombies, right, Ronnie?
Yes, I am.
I'm always on the lookout for buildings with little or no windows that would be a good place to defend in case of a zombie attack. I'm always looking out for the nearest item that I could use as a weapon to bash a zombie's brain in, because we all know that's the only way to stop a zombie. I look for escape routes for me and my family for when they come to the front door, the back door, or the garage. I've got high spots picked out in my neighborhood that we can climb to get out of reach of the zombies, because we all know that zombies can't climb. I've decided that other typical places like police stations and military bases that are good hiding places, the best local place to go that will keep the zombies out is a bank. It's one of the few places that's built specifically to keep people out. We'll have to venture out for food, of course, but I plan to stop at the nearest grocery store and grab as much food and water as I can before I head to the bank. I think it's a good plan. If you have any suggestions on how to help me prepare for a zombie invasion, please feel free to let me know. Now, we read your email, Ronnie, and I got to tell you, you opened up the floodgates.
Well, we read your email on the air, and then we got like a bunch of other listeners that emailed us and said, oh my God, I can't believe Ronnie's afraid of just like I am.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I can't be the only one to think
that.
Well,
we thought you were.
We hoped you
until
were.
Until we read your email, and then we realized everybody is afraid of zombies.
The dead who live on living flesh. The dead whose haunted souls hunt the living. The living whose bodies are the only food for these ungodly creatures.
They're mindless walking corpses. Zombies, man. They creep me out.
It's like they're pretending to be alive.
Is everyone dead?
Dead-ish.
Dead-ish, sure.
Dear Kevin, Bean, Ralph, and Lisa, regarding the paranoid listener whose idle mind is occupied with zombie defense strategies, well, the best place to go in the event of a zombie invasion would be Costco. They've got nearly indefinite food supply, big screen TVs and DVDs to occupy your time. They're all fortified with roll-down doors that the undead would not be able to claw through. And most Costcos are three stories tall with unscalable walls. The roof would be an excellent place to pick off zombies with rifles for defense or sporting purposes. Zoe, what's going on, Ronnie, that you're afraid of zombies? What's the deal?
Well, isn't everybody? I mean, wouldn't you be afraid of zombies?
Well, I am now. I wasn't until I got your email.
How often have you watched Dawn of the Dead or whatever those movies were?
Well, see, that's the thing. I'm not even a real big zombie movie fan. But when I do see a zombie movie, it irritates me so bad when they do such stupid things like walk up to him and ask him, sir, are you okay, when his face is half, off?
But, Ronnie, I'm not a zombie expert, but don't they walk at about 1 foot per hour?
Well, it depends on what movie you're watching. If you watch House of the Dead, they're super zombies, and they like to jump, 50 feet. And
well, then how's
strong.
Your little stay-up-high plan going to work? Isn't that for bears?
Well, if it's super zombies, I'm screwed.
We're all screwed if it's super zombies.
Right. I mean, it seems like zombies would be easy to run away from. It doesn't seem like they could ever catch you.
But if there's a lot of them, and they're surrounding your house, you can't just run away from them. You have to get up high. You have to find alternate escape routes.
It seems like if you just ran listen to us talking now as if it's going to happen.
No, he's right. You couldn't.
Yes,
if your house was surrounded by zombies,
just run through them.
No, it's not. They're strong enough to stop you.
No, they're not.
Well,
they're dead.
Sometimes they're like 10 deep. How can you run through 10 deep?
Dude, they're dead. They're
it's
not
like
exactly.
Red Rover.
They haven't exactly been working out,
Yeah, but they still weigh like 150, 200
pounds.
How
do you know what a zombie weighs?
Let's go to Candace and Elisa Viejo. We're talking about the coming zombie invasion and what we can do to avoid it. Candace, you got some experience with people being afraid of zombies, huh?
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hello.
Who's afraid of zombies in your house?
Yeah, my stepdad is afraid of zombies, and he was telling my mom and me about how he's afraid of zombies and his plan of how everybody would get out of the house, and we thought he was ridiculous. But he has it all worked out that they've got enough food, and if it came down to it, they've got two cats. So they can eat one cat, and the other cat can chase mice and catch mice so they can live in the house, no problem.
Okay, your stepdad told you all this?
Yeah, he did. It's ridiculous.
Was he laughing when he told you, or was he serious?
No, he was dead serious. And I guess there's some book that's the ultimate survival guide to, I don't know, dead or zombie attack or something that he sent me a link to, and he said, no, you've got to read this book because it tells you that they're going to come. The zombies are going to come.
How old were you when your stepdad told you this?
Oh, this was just a couple weeks ago.
How old are you now?
I'm 28.
28.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, stepdad's gone bye-bye.
No, it's crazy.
Thank you, Candace.
Hey, Ronnie, have you read the Max Brooks book that she's referring to, The Zombie Survival Guide?
No, I'm going to Google it right now.
Dude!
Apparently it's a very, very hot seller. I also want to thank K-Rock listener Tim for sending me a link to his website. He, Kevin, writes zombie haiku, which I think... Tornado above, wind ripping dead flesh from bones, zombie keeps walking, that sort of thing. Haiku about zombies. Apparently, we have really tapped into something here.
All right, let's say good morning to Dennis from Torrance. Good morning, Dennis.
Morning.
You're also freaked out by zombies.
Well, I'm not really freaked out, but I've definitely spent more time with, like, friends or something, just kind of BSing around, like, watching a bad zombie movie of how to survive a zombie attack than... how to avoid an Al-Qaeda attack.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if there's some kind of a gas or some kind of an attack like that, you're not prepared. But if zombies back...
But if zombies, I know exactly. First off, every one of the movies, they figure out real quick, the bite's what causes them to turn into zombies.
I see, so if they
and
bite you...
And none of them bother to put on, like, jackets or even, like, you know, like, hey, put on shoulder pads at least, you know?
Who has shoulder pads laying around the house, though, Dennis?
Go raid your local high school. Get football equipment, something.
Dennis?
I mean, they just put on an overcoat. I mean, they walk out bare-armed like, oh, my God, I got bit.
How old are you, Dennis?
I'm 35.
Okay. All right.
But I mean, we'll watch, like, lots of the bad movies. Like, we loved Shaun of the Dead.
Sure.
Army of Darkness. And...
Sure. You watch them too much, Dennis.
Good stuff.
Thanks for calling.
Unhappy zombie, what plagues you so, oh dead one? My right arm fell off. Thank you very much. Please give it a zombie haiku.
Let's talk to Manny, who scares me, I think, more than even Ronnie. Good morning, Manny.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa.
Hello, Manny.
Tell us about your fear.
Well, I've not so much as a fear as preparedness. I mean, I've got my I got a 14-inch machete that I drive around with in my Explorer. I just kind of keep it under my seat.
Is that because you live in Inglewood, or are you from Columbia, or what?
I live in Inglewood.
You do?
Manny, I got to tell you, I have received emails already this morning from others who carry around big knives or machetes because they say they don't run out of bullets, and you can kill a lot more zombies with a sharp blade than you can with a gun. Is that your thinking, too?
That's absolutely true. Any kind of blunt object will do it.
But, Manny, are you kidding when you say you carry a machete around?
No, I mean, I also go hiking and stuff, you know, and like to clear a trail and stuff, but I mean, that's the main reason.
It's really for zombies.
Yes, I have the survival guide.
How old are you, Manny?
Kevin, why are you hating on preparedness, man? These people are all a step ahead of you and me. We're going to be the first to get killed by the zombies.
I can run through the zombies.
Well, you say that now, but a lot of people will get killed by zombies.
Yeah, but I'll wear an overcoat. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? All right, let's go to Jared in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
Now, you read this book, this Max Brooks's book.
It's the best book ever. I used to be like a zombie, you know, novice fearmonger about zombies, just invasions and all kinds of crazy stuff. But fortunately, I worked through it with that book.
So you're no longer afraid?
No longer afraid after that book.
Is that because you're prepared?
Because I'm prepared.
Because he's prepared.
Oh, I see. Do you carry a machete around?
I do not carry a machete around. I live a perfectly normal life nowadays.
How are you prepared then? What's the preparation? What's the secret?
Basically, I'm screwed no matter what. So it's kind of that, you know, that resolve, knowing that they're going to win no matter what. But at least I know that I gave it my best when it finally happened.
But Jared,
so you can take out a few before you go.
Absolutely.
Okay, I don't want to hang with you then because you've got a really defeatist plan. Let's talk to Leanne who's calling from Anaheim. Good morning, Leanne.
Good morning.
How are all you people afraid of zombies?
I am. That's the worst thing that could possibly happen. I am not scared of terrorists. I am all about the zombies.
Well, isn't President Bush speaking to this, then, if this is our problem?
That's a great point. You know, he just did the State of the Union address a couple of weeks ago. Not a word of zombies. Before we hear your story, perhaps some more zombie haiku from our friend Tim. Zombie... Poor zombie. Why was death on vacation on your dying day? All right. What's your plan, Leanne? How are you going to avoid being killed by zombies?
Yeah.
I have started rationing and bringing in supplies, and I'm starting to get a shark suit made because the zombies cannot bite through the shark suit.
Oh, that's very smart. Very
You're getting
smart.
A shark suit made. Are those the ones that are made out of, like, chain link?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I go
to a gun range. Leanne.
And I practice.
You, but you're kidding about the shark suit.
No.
How much is it costing you?
No, I'm in the process. It's still being, like, thought out, but...
But you're going to get a shark suit in case the zombies attack.
Absolutely.
I have no problem. I am... Leanne, sign me up for one, too. Would you get two made, please?
All right. Definitely.
I love every one of you people. This is awesome. You are my people.
I think we all can sympathize with a woman who's married to Bean.
And by sympathize, you mean be jealous of...
Bean, do you have the super sad piano music or whatever it is we always ask for when there's somebody that's pouring their heart out? Do you have that?
Do we have a sad situation?
Yeah. Oh, very sad, yes. Some kind of sad music.
Like violin music.
Somebody could tell a story. Oh, there you go. Perfect.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Who's the poor sad sap that we're talking to this time?
Your wife, Donna. Good morning, Donna. How are you?
Hey, Donna.
Hi, guys.
Would you mind
Donna,
telling
why
us...
Are you gonna hurt me? Why are you going to hurt me like that?
Mohinder.
Would you mind telling us the sad, sad story of you and your man attending a baseball game on Saturday night? Please.
Oh, come on.
Yes, what happened that night?
I don't know that this is a story that needs to be shared for public consumption. This was this was a private moment between a husband and his wife, was it not?
At a baseball game? I don't think so.
It's the best date story ever.
Okay.
Bean takes me to the baseball game, and it's like the third inning. He decides he's going to get up and go get some food. And he says to me, "Hey, Donna, can I get you anything?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd love a hot dog with everything on it."
Right.
And he goes, "Okay, that's all you want?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Okay, no problem." And he leaves. So 45 minutes go by because I guess he had to stop at a strip club. I don't know what was going on. And he comes back, and he's got this tray with, like, a huge barbecue chicken sandwich and, like, chips and ice cream and, and a brownie and then, like, 75 ounces of soda.
And of course.
He sneaks back into the aisle and sits down next to me. And I go, Mohinder, where's my hot dog?
Donna calls me Mohinder, by the way, because she wishes I were Mohinder. She loves him so much.
No kidding.
I love Mohinder. He says, "Well, I couldn't figure out how to get it without making my food cold, so I just didn't."
So you came all the way back and sat down next to her without getting her a hot dog?
In my defense, though, didn't I say as I left, and you conveniently left this out of the story, didn't I say, yeah, if they sell hot dogs in the same place where I'm getting my food, I'll get them both at the same time and bring them back. But I wasn't. I don't think I ever made it sound like I was going to, you know, run all over the Pacific Northwest looking for, you know, a hot dog.
We all know how hard it is to find a hot dog at a baseball game.
It's a baseball stadium. Like, there wasn't a hot dog vendor at the top of our row, you moron.
Bean.
Why would you ask her if she wants anything and then not bring it?
After bringing yourself 10 pounds of food, by the way.
Oh, my God. And he just sat there and he was like, oh, my God, this chicken is so good. Oh my God, this brownie is so yummy. Oh my God. And then he says to me, I was like, "Oh, is your food good? Really?" And he said, "Yeah." And I go, "Oh, that's interesting. I hope you really enjoy it." And he said, Oh, do you want some?" And I said, "Yes, please." And he said, "Here, you can have a chip. Oh, wait, no, you can have half a chip." And he broke it in half.
Okay, now that's funny. And then he went and got your hot dog.
No.
He never got your hot dog.
Because he said it would make his food cold. And I said, "You know, it's just a hot dog. It comes in like tinfoil. You take it, you wrap it up. You could have stuck it in the pocket of your hoodie." And he said, "No, it would have been too cumbersome. I wouldn't have been able to carry my food back."
Too cumbersome?
I mean, honestly.
What in God's name is going on?
Bean, you're an ass.
On top of our last date where he took me out and we ran out of gas on the freeway.
Really? I never heard about this story.
No.
45 minutes.
Did he have you push while he drove?
No, but he was so bitchy. It was just not fun.
It wasn't fun. You're right about that.
Donna, this is Ralph here.
Hi, Ralph.
Hi, Donna. I'm sorry I didn't hear about the accident, but how long have you been in a wheelchair?
Thank you, Ralph. That's my point exactly.
Would you get
lost if you tried to find a hot dog your own self?
But wait a minute.
I offered to get my own hot dog, but my husband said, "No, no, dear, you stay here. I'm already going."
If Bean
He's gonna offer. So when he comes back empty-handed without the hot dog, you can A, bitch about it, or B, go get yourself a hot dog.
Yeah, I think bitching about it's the right thing to do because Bean's an ass for not bringing her a hot dog. It's not that hard at a baseball game.
I put up with, you guys know.
You do.
We've been married almost like 15 and a half years.
And whose fault is that?
it's hard to do something about when you're locked in the basement all the time.
He won't even give you a good phone.
What's wrong with the phone? There's nothing wrong with the phone.
Yeah, are you talking through a comb with some wax paper on top of it?
I'm talking through a tin can on a string.
Okay, so just to recap, he said, hey, do you want anything?
He did.
And then he came back without any food for you, but a lot for him.
Absolutely. And then he ate it in front of me and didn't feel a moment's remorse.
Okay, but in retrospect, I could have played that one differently. I'm gonna grant you that I may have boofed that one a little bit. But I honestly, in my mind, I saw standing in a whole other line while I'm carrying all my food, standing in a whole other line, and then getting yours, and then trying to manage everything and get it all back to the seats without spilling everything.
A hot dog, not an automobile.
You certainly have time to stand in a whole other line to get chips. And an ice cream and a brownie.
Yeah, he probably stood in three different lines for his food.
That was for me, though. That was for me. Okay.
By the way, boof. Did you say boof?
Only 8-year-old Asian girls say that word.
I could have boofed that one.
I boofed that one.
Is that what you said?
Oh, how does that even mean?
What are we piling on here?
Because you're begging for it. Jesus, you two are like the Addams Family. I don't even know where you're coming from.
Look, just get the woman some food if you offer.
That doesn't seem like it's too much to ask.
We had a night, despite that ugly incident, we had a good time at the ballpark, though. You're glad we went, and we didn't run out of gas on the way home, so everything was fine, right?
Yeah.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Very few people, when they call, they get through and on the air immediately.
But one of those people is our favorite listener, Dewan.
First, our friend Dewan from Los Angeles is on the phone. How you doing, Dewan?
Good, thank you. What's up, Kevin and Bain and Lisa?
Hi, Dewan.
Hey, Dewan, last time we talked to you, we didn't have time to get into this, but you told us that you were thinking of a career change, that you were thinking that maybe your time working at a movie theater was running out. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I want to work In-N-Out instead.
That's a great choice. In-N-Out is the best.
Oh, it's so popular.
Why In-N-Out? Why did you decide on them?
I'm interested of it.
Mm-hmm.
They get paid a little more money than the movie theater.
They do. They get paid more than most fast food restaurants, I think. And they have the world's best employees.
But you don't get to see free movies.
It's a private company, too.
Is that good for you?
Yes.
Okay.
The family members still own the In-N-Out company.
Okay, and that's what you look for in a fast food restaurant that you work at?
Dwan's done research.
Yeah.
he's making a stand to keep America strong. Hey, what about what Lisa said, Dwan? Are you willing to give up the free movies?
I believe so, yes.
Wow.
Right. How about if we go through a little training, Dwan? How about if you are the drive-through operator and we're pulling through in a car? Let's try you out quickly.
Sure.
So you're in In-N-Out, you're working the speaker, and we just pull up. Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead.
All right, may I help you?
Dewan, is that you?
No, Bean, we're just acting like we don't know him.
We don't know. All right, Dewan, let's try it again. Kevin and I and Lisa, we're all in a car, we're pulling through the drive-thru, we pull up to the little window, and then you say what?
Welcome to In-N-Out. Can I get you supper for you, please?
And I say, Lisa, get your hands off of me.
I can't help it.
Oh. She's so grabby.
Yes, sir. We'd like the 4x4.
You want onions with that?
I'd like it animal style, please.
Oh, sure. You want fries and a drink with that?
I'd like animal style fries as well.
We have to charge additional charge for that.
Okay, that's fine. I'd like to pay more.
Oh, that's fine, sure.
Okay, Bean, you...
Hold
on, hey, we're not done here. Hey, In-N-Out, we're three of us.
I'm a little bit confused because I don't go to the In-N-Out burger, but what does it mean when Kevin asks for the 4x4? What is that? Is that something that's on the menu?
Yes, secret menu.
Ooh, he knows the secret
Dewan's
menu.
Dewan's got the secret menu memorized.
Hell?
Nice.
And what is animal style? How does that differ from the way things are normally prepared?
You cook it. First, you put mustard on the meat and you fry it.
Right.
Then you chop onions on there with pickles, tomatoes, everything.
Dude, Dewan knows his stuff. And the 4x4, of course, is the four patties and four cheese.
He's the best prepared employee ever.
Times three patties.
Nope, four times four, my friend. Four by four.
Three by three.
Nope, four by four.
Okay.
I'd like the four by four, not the three by three.
Well, they do call it the four by four, if that's any indication, DeJuan.
Right.
Hey, DeJuan, this is Bean here in the car, and I don't eat the cow, so I was wondering if you have anything that's vegetarian that I can order that's maybe not on the menu.
What kind of drink do you like with that?
Wait a minute. Wait, he's asking you if there's something that's vegetarian.
Oh.
Yeah, do they
anything without meat?
Offer him a grilled cheese. You guys do that.
Try the grilled cheese or veggie.
Or veggie. Okay, the veggie sounds good. The grilled cheese sounds good. You know what? I'm going to take one of each. Lisa, what would you like?
I am really hungry, DeJuan.
Yes.
I would like the protein style.
You want onions with that?
Sure.
Now, you know what the protein style is. That's not on the menu either.
What is that?
Secret.
Secret. Well, yeah, but I mean, it's a secret to most people, but you should know it working there.
Can you tell me what it is?
It's like no bun.
Yes, it is.
That's exactly right, DeJuan. You are unbelievable.
DeJuan spends his life at In-N-Out, and I love that. He knows the protein style has no bun.
DeJuan, you're so smart. You know, most people don't know all of this stuff until they've already been through the training in In-N-Out, but you've managed to pick it up on your own. That's very impressive.
Thank you.
What's our total?
Total is you're together, you and Lisa?
Yes.
You know it, baby.
Total like 1040, please.
Okay, how much is beans?
Yours about 535.
535.
Okay. Seems like a lot for just a grilled cheese, but okay.
All right, what do we do now? Do
you
we pull
the veggie
forward?
Veggie too.
That's right.
Pull forward to the second window, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hey, DeJuan, is there an In-N-Out burger near where you live that you're going to go down and apply at?
Yes, and there's one in Westwood. I apply.
There you go.
We got to go, but if you need us to, you know, be a reference for you or to speak on your behalf, you just let us know. We'll be happy to take care of that, all right?
Oh, thank you so much.
You're very knowledgeable, DeJuan. Thank you.
Later.
Get some sleep. Bye-bye.